Blog Talk Radio.
The Moxie Fix.
Give me a good clean fight. Good luck to most of you.
The Moxie Fix. For the Moxie addicts who are itching for their fix, we welcome The Moxie Fix. Every Sunday night at 5 o'clock Pacific, 8 o'clock Eastern. Join us here at The Moxie Fix.
What's going on, everyone? My name is Josh, and I am a boxing addict. Welcome, everyone, to another episode of The Boxing Fix. I'm your host, Josh McDaniel. And, man, we got a great show for everyone today. And I'm going to bring in my co-host. Let's see if she's ready to come on air. She's a co-host again from last week. Joel, again, couldn't make it. He's doing his thing in Florida right now, but he should probably be back next week. I'm going to bring on the PR superstar, the Twitter queen. No more introduction.
Hey,
Emily Pundelocket. Emily,
right,
you there?
You on right now, okay?
Emily, you on? Are you online right now?
I am here.
There we go. There she is, the PR superstar. What's going on, Emily? How's it going right now?
Not a lot. Just relaxing up in the pines here and on vacation with some family, so. Had lots of time for boxing this weekend. Hello? Josh?
Yeah.
I can hear you.
Are we on live, David?
Yes, sir. Skype is doing his usual stuff. Go ahead, guys. You're good now.
All right. So
I'll keep
sorry about that.
Come over here.
All right. Great. Thanks, David. So we're back, everyone. Sorry about that. All you addicts, don't go crazy right now. I'm not sure if we got it through or anything, but Emily, introduce yourself again. Thanks for coming on and being a co-host. How's everything going?
Everything's good. Like I said, I'm up on vacation in the pines here, enjoying some, 60 and 70-degree weather. So that's a nice break from the heat.
See, you know you're a boxing addict when you're helping co-hosting a boxing show on your vacation. So,
no,
I don't know, Emily. You're crazy.
My mom has said more than once, every time you come up here, you watch boxing. Is that why you come here? I'm like, no, it's always like that, so.
Well, like I said, it's great for having you back on. You know, we had a great time last week, and expecting to have another great show today. We got some good guests coming on. We got Jay Leon Love about around the 5:45 mark, and then later on, we got comedian/boxer Javier Carlos Garcia. So it should be a good show today. Let's get down to the boxing blitz. So Friday, we had a few fights. It's a slow week once again because everything's picking up next week. Friday on the 31st over in Thailand, this is one guy that I love saying his name. We're trying to say his name. He went on and got his 86th victory. Pong Saklek Wanjakham. He defeated some guy, Hayobu Nagagama. That was a unanimous decision out there in Thailand. And like I said, Pong Saklek got his 85th victory. And you don't see that much these days. Over out in Delaware, that's in the U.S., if anyone didn't know that. It's Delaware. We had Ronica Jeffrey went on and defeated Lindsay Garba by the unanimous decision. That was the 10-round fight for the WBC Silver Female Super Featherweight title. Anthony Smith continued his undefeated, moved his record to being 14-0 against Kevin, I'm wrong, actually. Let me rephrase that. Anthony Smith lost his first fight against Kevin Angle by the second round TKO. Dennis Hassan continued his undefeated stretch to 15-0, defeating Daniel Judah by unanimous decision. And then over out at the in Pennsylvania, they brought some boxing out there in Pennsylvania at Mount Pocono at the Mount Airy Casino and Resort. In lightweight match, Brian Acaba lost his first fight against Tyrone Lucky in the first round TKO. That was an upset. A lot of people did not expect that to happen. Juan Rodriguez Jr. continued to be undefeated, going to 10-0, defeating Dontre King by unanimous decision in the sixth rounder. Elizabeth Sherman also won her fight. She fought against Christina Leadbeater, and she won by a KO in the very first round. And then we'll move on into Italy. Ivan Floretta lost a 8th-round TKO to Istvan Nagy, and Giorgio Natalizzi lost by a 4th-round TKO to Stanley Sakic. And that's all for Friday. That was not too much on Friday. Actually, we have a few more out there. I'm also forgetting. Let me just add this one. Over in Pennsylvania, Joe Cusimano defeated by unanimous decision versus Taco Asenwood. So that's for Friday. Now we're going to move on to Saturday. Saturday we had some good fights. I know a lot of people enjoyed the HBO Boxing After Dark and everything else out there. So in Argentina on September 1st, Roberto Domingo Sosa went on to defeat Zolani Tete by split decision. And then we're going to move all the way to Germany. Everyone who watched this, if you guys did not catch this fight, it was a pretty good fight. Felix Sturm went on and lost a split decision, a really good fight, competitive fight, split decision to Daniel Gill for the WBA Super World Middleweight title and the IBF Middleweight title. Now, I don't know, Emily, that was a good fight. What you think about the fight? Just give us a little brief recap of what you thought.
It was a good fight. It was a very close fight. Like, I could definitely see the split decision. Like, sometimes I, you know, can't. But, I mean, every round I could go either way based on, you know, what was happening. But ultimately, I think Gil is just a little bit busier, footwork a little bit better. There's a few different things, you know, during the fight that I thought he kind of had the edge.
Right. I did, too. I agree with you there. In the women's fight, there was for the Women's International Boxing Association flyweight title, Nadia Raui defeated Samson Torbuamas, and that was a unanimous decision, 10-round fight, and Nadia goes on and won the title for that division. And then in the heavyweight, former heavyweight champion, Ruslan Shagev, went on and won by TKO in the 7th round versus Wormer Crescott. Ruslan used to be a champion. I think he fought one of the Klitschko's, in fact, and stuff. But he goes on, and he's still fighting, moving his record to 30 wins, 2-1. Now, out in Los Mochis, Sinaloa, Mexico, some great fights out there. I think it's the cousin of Javier Garcia, who we'll have on later. You know, Miguel Angel Garcia went on to win by the second round KO over Mauricio Pastrana. It was more of a tune-up fight or, you know, stay busy fight because Miguel's should be fighting Orlando Salido coming up. So it was more of a stay busy fight, but a good fight to finish him off nonetheless. You know, at least he didn't take it easy and, you know, got beat up anyway or any upset. In the main event, Rogério Medina won a TKO 6-round versus Luis David Serrano, and Raul Morales lost to Adrian Young by unanimous decision in the 8-round bout. Now, over in Verona, New York, and in the U.S., everyone Boxing After Dark, if you got to watch this. Jonathan Gonzalez, you know, the Mr. Big Guy, and I mean that by his weight, went on to a split decision draw against Sergey Dzurek. It was a good fight. Dzurek, you know, did what he had to do, and I would call it pretty much a victory for him because everyone didn't think he was going to pull off the victory, especially that Jonathan came on looking like a Pillsbury Doughboy. We'll get into that later. I know that Emily has a few things to say about that, and I certainly do too. But in the main event, in what everyone was waiting to see, the U.S. debut of Triple G, Gennady Golovkin, went on and won by a fifth-round TKO versus Grzegorz Prochazka. I mean, Prochazka was game and everything. Great fight. That was for the WBA World Middleweight title and the International, the IBO Middleweight title as well. This is a fun fight to watch, a great fight for TV, and we're going to get into the recap more later. But, Emily, what is your thoughts on Golovkin and that fight, that performance he put on?
Obviously, he totally outclassed the guy. I'm one of the people that didn't know a lot about him, you know, coming into this fight. I mean, I know that he's been around a while. A lot of people knew a lot about him. I did not. And I was very impressed. I mean, I don't know about the level of competition. I mean, the guy, like I said, totally outclassed. But, I got a little teary at the end there with the heart of the other fighter, Proxa. And you're making fun of me for that before the show. But, it was a good fight. I mean, it was an okay card to watch last night.
You know, I we did talk about this in the show, and I'm just going to have to, quote a line and just change the sport real quick from Tom Hanks. There's no crying in boxing. But
I'm an emotional.
I'll let you slide.
I'm an emotional person. I'm very emotional at boxing. I'm very close to a lot of fighters, so almost every fight I get emotional. So it is what it is.
You're the PR superstar. I'll let you slide on this one.
Thank you. Thank
No problem. Also on that card in the light welterweight division, Jorge Masvidal Jr. continuing his unbeaten streak against Brian Abraham, winning by a first-round TKO. Tony Lewis defeated his opponent, Andres Ledesma, by first-round KO as well. Also, there's a lot of TKOs on this card, by the way, so if you were there in Verona, it must have been a great fight to watch. Toronto Johnson defeated in the fourth-round TKO over Cleveland Ishe. Ryan McKenzie continued to be now moved his record to 10-0 with 10 knockouts. So 10 wins, 10 knockouts over Bomgod Washington, sixth-round TKO. Brian Klucki fought his way to a draw with Rayshon Myers. And Sean Miller defeated Richard Cimino in the four-round unanimous decision. And I almost forgot this one. Over on Solo Boxeo in Caguas, Puerto Rico, Edgar Lopez defeated Gael Andaluz by a unanimous decision, which I'm going to talk to Sweet Boxing later. Ryan Bivens will be coming on later, and I thought that was a fun six-round fight to watch. Those guys were throwing blows, and we'll get more into it later. And then Miguel Robles won a split decision over Juan Herrera, which seemed like a pretty good fight. It was a close fight. It's kind of back and forth. Herrera almost came back towards the late rounds. But that's all for the Boxing Blitz, and we're going to get on to some recaps on the show. Now, hey, Emily, what was your favorite fight, though, that you got to see this weekend?
I guess I'm going to have to go with the Golovkin fight. I mean, that was the one I was kind of most looking forward to, after all I've heard about the guy. So I guess that was my favorite. I mean, I also enjoyed the Sturman and Yeel fight, actually. That one, they're kind of – I like both of them.
All right, now – you brought it up. Let's go ahead and recap right now this Gill versus Stern fight. I thought it was a good fight. I got to catch it after a long Friday night, Saturday morning, and caught the stream of it. Let's do the breakdown. What do you think about the fight? What do you think right now about Stern and Gill? What's set for both of them in the future, first of all?
First of all, I want to thank Ryan Bivens. I know he's coming on the show. I'll thank him again. But if not for him, there's a lot of fights I wouldn't catch, and that would have been one of them. So, thanks for the putting that online. But, yeah, honestly, that was an exciting, an exciting fight. Just a lot of – I honestly felt – did you listen to him with the audio?
I kind of did. I wasn't really paying attention to the audio too much. I think my – in fact, if I'm not mistaken, I might have had it in a different language, but –
okay, I was listening with, I think it sounded like Sky or something like that, doing the audio, or I don't know. But I really felt like the commentators were really biased towards Sturm. And I scored it round by round, and every round I would come up with, well, could go either way, but, and Sturm would have the more consistent performance, throughout the round. And then Gill would come in with some, flash of stuff. He had him hurt. Gill had Sturm hurt in the third round, and that kept happening where, he'd come in with this flurry of punches when his Sturm was a little more consistent. But honestly, I don't disagree with the decision, and I can see why it could have gone either way.
Definitely, and that's the one thing. The fight, that's where I think a lot of people were surprised that even Gill got a decision out there. We know that Sturm has been getting a lot of gifts, you could say, out there in Germany and everything. And definitely from what I also read, a lot of people's tweets saying that the Sky broadcasters were pretty biased. But I think you can almost expect that from now on with Sturm. I mean, but I also saw the same way. I thought Gill just was not so much more consistent. I just thought he was the better fighter in that fight. I thought it was a close fight. I scored the fight, if I'm not mistaken, 115 to 113 for Gill. But I also agree. It was definitely a split decision type of fight. Now, I'm curious to see what Gill and both Gill and Sturm go on from here. I mean, I know Golovkin would probably love to get Gill, and Golovkin got to fight. There's a lot of potential a lot of fights out there to be made in this division. What do you think? What do you like to see?
You know, we talked about this last week. I had thought that there was a possibility of Abraham getting the winner of this fight in December. So that's I had read that last week. I mean, I think when I went to look for kind of what's next for Arthur Abraham, I saw like 100 different opponents or something in the list. And I think that was like the front runner. Whoever won this fight, he's going to fight them in December 15th or something like that. So I think, you know, Abraham versus either of them actually would be a really good fight in Europe, you know, in terms of, you know, money for either of them. I wouldn't mind seeing them exposed to the American audience. Daniel Gill, either one of them, I liked them both. So I wouldn't mind if they came here and fought, or Pavlik, you know, went there, you know, something like that.
You know, I think I agree. The Gill and Abraham fight would generate so much money overseas up there. I mean, I think that's their blockbuster event probably, and that'd be a hell of a fight to watch. The way Abraham's been on his little comeback tear and everything, and the way Gill looked against Sturm, and that which was a tough fight. Everyone knew it wasn't going to be an easy fight to go in Germany and win. I like that fight. Pavlik would be awesome too. You know,
who do you think would win that fight, Gill versus Abraham?
I'm gonna go with Gill by decision, but close. I mean, I might change my mind once the fight comes and happens, you know. But offhand right now, Abraham's to me, you know, he doesn't. I don't think he has too much left. I think Gill has a lot more and can do a lot more and you know, just outwork him. I think that's how I think. I think, but like I said, any time comes. You know, I'm the type of, I might switch up the day before after, you know, hearing and watching and reading all the articles out and seeing footage, you know, so. But I definitely believe it would be a hell of a fight. I mean, that's a fight I will make sure that I'm up early and watching it, getting a good stream and, you know, sitting in front of my computer to watch it.
Yeah, and, you know, on that note, it would be nice if they'd show it here. I mean, I know on occasion they show some of the European fights here, but I don't know. You know, I think that Abraham has a lot more power than Sturm. Gill is probably technically a stronger fighter, just, you know, from the way that he uses his body, the way he punches, his jab. He's got a strong jab. But I honestly think Abraham might win that, just because I think that he's just more powerful. Like, he's a more powerful fighter, certainly than Sturm. I mean, the Sturm-Gill matchup was just such a perfect matchup in terms of, you know, it could really have gone either way. Their styles were very compatible, you know, and I think that Abraham would be a much different fight for Gill, and I think that he would struggle a lot more.
Yeah, and, you know, that's where I think Gill will work in his benefit against an older Abraham is the being more technically sound, might be able to, you know, do some circles around him. So I definitely think it would be a hell of a fight, though. And I don't think that Abraham is totally out of it, though, obviously, you know?
Yeah.
What do you think about Sturm, though?
You know, I thought he was good. Like I said, I don't see a lot of power there. And I don't know if it's just me. I thought he was okay, you know, and I've seen that. I think he could work on his defense. He's got a good defense. It looks good, but Gill kept breaking through it. So I think he's, you know, he needs some work. You know, obviously he has a lot of experience, so maybe there isn't anything he can do, but I really feel like he could use some work on his defense and he'd be a little bit stronger than obviously working on the power.
Definitely. Now, how about, you brought it up, Pavlik. You throw Pavlik in the mix there. Where do you think his chances are in defeating Daniel Gill?
I think that would be a very similar fight to what we saw yesterday. I think they'd match up very well. I think that would be a very, very good fight. And I think that would be a way to get, you know, this European fighter some American exposure. And it would be a good fight for Pavlik. It would be definitely the best test he's had since kind of coming back. I would like to see that fight. I don't know if that's a possibility, if that's even being talked about, but, you know, when I'm talking about fights, I wouldn't mind seeing these guys get involved in. That's definitely one.
You know, one thing is, if Gil and Abraham were to fight, if it is going to be on American television, I bet you anything it'll be on the FX network. So I'm going to have to get a stream anyways because I don't get FX.
Yeah.
But if it was like a Pavlik fight, it'll probably be like a Showtime or HBO fight. So if you want the American exposure, that might be the better route. But the money's Abraham, I definitely think, if they fight out there.
I think Gil's got some appeal. You know, just in this fighting. So I think people would like him, would like to watch him fight. If people didn't catch that, you know, maybe we can tweet that link out later on. It was a good fight, and I would like to see both of them again. I wouldn't even actually mind seeing a rematch of that fight. Now that they know each other's styles and they know each other's weaknesses and strengths, I wouldn't even mind seeing that. And, you know, Sturm, to his credit, kind of said, well, you know what? It's what the judges said. I have to go with it. He didn't, you know, argue the point. But, you know, anytime there's a split decision, you wonder.
Yeah, and because, you know, it could have gone either way on certain cards. But, you know, one name I want to bring up for a possible against Gil, or, you know, is the guy that we're going to talk about in a little bit and on his fight is Golovkin. I think Golovkin has to, you know, I'm not going to, first of all, we'll talk about more on Golovkin later, but I don't want to say too much, but I'm not going to totally jump on the Kool-Aid bandwagon yet on Golovkin. I think he's a hard hitter. I think he's very talented. I just haven't seen enough of him in America to know his capability yet. But going off of what I've seen, though, him and Gil would be a good matchup for Golovkin, and winner of that should get, like, winner of Martinez, Chavez, or whoever.
Well, and, you know, one thing, I was listening to another show this morning, and they were talking about this fight, and somebody said something to the effect of, you know, the commentators were talking up Proksa like he was a real, you know, competitor in this fight when he really, you know, wasn't that great. And it's hard to judge Golovkin on that, you know, based on the level of competition. I mean, he's just so far outclassed Proksa that, you know, it's kind of hard to say. I wouldn't mind seeing him in a harder fight just to see if all the hype is worth it. I'm not, you know, I'm definitely, like, thought he did really well. I was excited. And, you know, his post-fight interview was good. He was very humble, very nice. I would like to see him again. I just, you know, like, same as you, I'm just, like, kind of cautious. And there were a lot of people that were very high on him before this fight. There's one guy on Twitter that was just really trying to, you know, getting his name out there. And that's why I was interested in this fight, because I'd heard about him through Twitter and, you know, talking about, oh, Kid Chocolate should fight him and this and that. And I thought, who is this guy, you know? And now that I've been paying a little attention, I am excited about him. But I want to see, you know, I want to see him, you know, fight somebody with a little stronger fighter.
Yeah, I there's definitely been a few people on Twitter that's hyping him up a lot, and I know what you're talking about, and I'm just going to leave it at that. But let's move on. We'll get back to Golovkin a little bit later. We got, you know, this was a fight a lot of people, you know, probably didn't see, but hopefully if they caught a link out there, that it was, you know, it was a decent fight to watch. I mean, it was a one-sided affair. Ruslan Chagaev, again, a former heavyweight champion, knocked out Warner Prescott. I mean, the thing was, Warner is just a journeyman. Ruslan went in there and did what he had to do for a, you know, he's a veteran. You know, he's not I wouldn't call him a knockout artist, but that's why it was a good thing he went in there and defeated Warner by knockout. He knocked him down twice in the fifth, and after that, I mean, it was just pretty much over. The seventh round, he knocked him down once, and the fight was all done for Warner. He had no shot. I mean, if you even look at his record, Warner's record is 12 wins, 19 losses, and one draw.
Oh.
I mean, by no means this was a tough match for Ruslan. But my question, I wonder what Ruslan's trying to do, though. I mean, is he trying to get back in the heavyweight picture? You know, is he trying to get another shot at a Klitschko? I mean, it seems like anybody can get a shot at the Klitschkos nowadays, see the type of guys they're fighting. But, you know, I don't know if you're too familiar with Ruslan, but, you know, where do you go from here? You know, or as a heavyweight, how about this? Let me ask you this, Emily. As a heavyweight fighter, you got the two most dominant guys in that in that division right now, right? The two Klitschko brothers. If you're Rusin, if you're and you know you probably can't defeat them. What are you doing at that age? Are you trying to get back in the mix, or are you just trying to, you know, make a name on the side and trying to get some money?
Until the Klitschkos retire, I can't find myself getting excited about a lot in this division when there's nobody out there right now that seems to be able to beat them. And I think, you know, this guy, he's probably best served finding a top heavyweight, one of the U.S. heavyweights, that wants to make their way over to Europe, you know, to fight the Klitschkos and kind of act as that gatekeeper. I mean, that would be the only thing for me that would make sense. If he gets a shot, the Klitschko's okay, but if he knows he can't beat him, I think his best bet is to, you know, bring over some of these American heavyweights, Seth Mitchell, you know, some of the other ones that, you know, are looking for that shot eventually at the Klitschko's. I mean, Ariola wants another shot, those guys, and bring him over to Europe, fight him, and then maybe the winner of that fight takes the Klitschko's.
So I'm going to ask you this, and since you said it, all right, and I'm not trying, you said it right here, you're not excited about anything in this division. So you're telling me you don't see an American heavyweight right now that can possibly beat one of the Klitschko's?
No, I don't. We've had this conversation so many times on the Tuesday show that I'm on, and I don't personally. I mean, there are people out there, you know. I mean, Seth Mitchell's a strong fighter. You got, Tony Thompson? Somebody almost beat them, you know, or came away with the, you know.
Chaz Witherspoon.
And, you know, I mean, those are the guys, but nothing right now gets me very excited about being able to beat the Klitschko's, no.
Yeah, I'm a little different on you on this, and I mean, I agree with you on the Rusin thing. He can be a nice little gatekeeper, you know, test these young Americans out or whatever, but I like Seth. I think he has a lot of potential. I think, I mean, although he did take up boxing late, I think to his benefit is he's such a great athlete. He's got a killer mentality. He was a linebacker in college, you know, and I mean, he was a brutal linebacker at that, you know, so you know he has that killer mentality. I like him. I think in a few more fights, maybe you start stepping up in level of competition. I mean, he showed his heart and grit against Chaz Witherspoon, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But,
yeah.
There. I mean, I can see what you're saying, though. I do believe that, for the most part, the Klitschko's are a dominating robotic force. I don't believe they're human. I really don't think they are. I mean, you know, in boxing, we talk about blood testing for drugs or whatever. I want to make sure these guys are even human. I can care less about steroids with these two guys. I think they are robotic machines for some reason.
You're getting that
know.
Terminator vibe from them.
What was that?
You're getting that Terminator vibe from them.
Yeah, I do. I get that a lot. I get that Terminator vibe, and it scares me. If I ever see one a Klitschko person, I might run the other way. But, you know, all you boxing addicts, man, if you guys want to talk boxing, talk about this weekend's recap. If you guys want to talk about Golovkin, I know everyone's up high up on him. Or anything from this weekend, you know, give us a call at 347-215-7598. Go ahead, call in and chop some boxing up with us, you boxing addicts. And also, we're not the only show that Leaving in the Ring Radio produces. We also got Mondays for all the Spanish speakers. Noche de Boxeo from 5 o'clock to Best Fight Pacific. And then on Thursdays, we got the Leaving in the Ring Radio with your host, Dave Duenas, and the Dark Cloud, Gabriel Montoya. That's 3 hours of boxing talk from 5, that's from 5 to 8, so 5 Pacific, 8 Eastern out in your area, if you're in the East Coast. And then, all you boxing addicts, I always say this every week, and I'm telling you, if you guys still haven't got your subscription to Undisputed Fight Magazine, I don't believe y'all really boxing fans. I mean, it's a great, great magazine, great coverage, you know, unbiased material, raw and uncut. Go ahead and check that out on UndisputedFightMag.com. It's an online digital magazine, so make sure you go check that out. So we talked about what happened over in Germany. Let's
real quick, sorry, the Gil fight. So I just read on Twitter, somebody, you know, we were just talking about what's next for Gil. Somebody just said that he's looking at moving down to 154 and looking for a title there. So that would be really interesting to see him get in the mix with that very crowded, very talented division.
Well, that would be interesting. But, Emily, we do have a caller. We got a caller, Sal, from New York. He said he wanted to chip in and talk about the Klitschko's. What's going on, Sal? How's it going, man?
Great. This is a great topic. Particularly about the Klitschko's. I followed them, as we all have, for a while. I think that the difference between the Klitschko's and the other crop of fighters, it's not just their height advantage and their reach advantages. I think it's really that they're just smarter. And quite frankly, they both have PhDs, don't they? But I think that they really fight their height. I see like Hellenius. I see a lot of fighters who don't fight to their full potential. These guys use every aspect of their advantages. They fight to full advantage. And it makes their fights very, very simple, and plus that intimidation factor. I think the only way, like Vladimir, we know that he has his very questionable chin. I think somebody could beat him if they hit him with a good shot, a lucky shot. But Vitaly is really a tough guy. I mean, the only time, two times that he was ever even came close to, well, when he did lose, he quit on the, what was it, against Chris Bird? He quit on the stool because he had an injury, and he was way ahead on the scorecards. He had a terrible cut against Lennox Lewis. So I think these two guys really are unbeatable. I do believe they're unbeatable, but I think that the difference is that they're smart. You know, they fight fighters who how can you fight a guy who's 6'7", 6'8", and you're 6'2" from the outside? You have to get in, and I just don't see the fighters who they're fighting who have the smarts to do what they need to do. Well, you have a Joe Frazier who would bar. He knew his limitations, and he turned it into an advantage by bobbing and weaving and going inside and staying inside. I see other fighters who fought him. What's this guy's name? The African from England, Chisora. Not a great fighter, but he seemed to. He went the distance, and I think he did because you know because of his aggression. He was crazy enough to be aggressive, and he didn't seem to be afraid. So, and he went the distance. So, a lot of it, I think, with the other fighters who fight the Klitschko brothers, it's the intimidation factor, and plus they're not fighting the right kind of style. They are beatable, but you have to fight the right style with them, and I think nobody's ever tried that.
Yeah, you know, I definitely agree. Oh, go ahead, Emily.
I was going to say, I was having this conversation with a friend of mine that's up here and vacationing with me last night, that, you know, in any industry, the top people in the industry are typically very smart. I mean, they may also be very good at marketing themselves, but they're very smart. Like you said, these guys are doctors. They're very smart. And I think, you know, intellect has a lot to do with performance in the ring. You know, you're able to play a few moves ahead and you know, see things that maybe somebody, maybe isn't as smart, knows how to do. I mean, you look at Mayweather. He's a smart guy. You know, he does his thing. He has his moments. But, you know, IQ-wise, he's probably very smart. And that's the case a lot of the top fighters, if you kind of go back and look at them. I totally agree with that.
Yeah, and that's the one thing with the Klitschko's is they're, just like Sal said, the intimidation factor, but they're cerebral assassins. Like, they go out there and they use every advantage that they have to their fullest. And that's what great champions do. They use what they have to their advantage. You know, I think they're beatable as well. Like you said, Vladimir with the chin. That's why there's certain fighters out there that can do it. I just think that you can't be afraid. I think that's the one thing. Like, Chisora is a perfect example. I mean, we all know how crazy he is. He spits in the guy's face. He got glass. You know, so we know he's crazy. He don't care about getting hit. And that's what the kind of mentality you kind of need to have against the Klitschko's. You got to understand, you're going to get hit because you got to get inside. And you're probably going to have to take a few punches to, you know, land that good one. But you can't be afraid. And a lot of these guys, you see them running around and just get their whole game plan gets thrown out the window because once they get hit by a Klitschko jab, you know, they get scared. I mean, like, I know Joel or the other co-host, Joel, who's on the show, I mean, he loves the Klitschko's. He's probably, like, if he's listening, he's probably, like so upset he's not hosting right now because he loves them to death. But I just don't like watching them, but they're talented. I watch their fights. They're not too appealing, but that's because, and I don't blame them that they're not appealing. I blame that the fighters that they're fighting are making their fights not appealing most of the time. Like, Chisora, that was a great fight to watch. But other than that, I can't remember a time I really said, other than the Lewis fight maybe or whatever, that the Klitschko fought, that I was like, oh, I got to watch it, you know?
Well, you know, like you said, like with Joe Lewis's Bum of the Month Club, he was so vastly superior to his competition, it was boring. You know, but as you said, the smart fighters, Ali's smarter. even when his physical abilities began to diminish, he was smarter and he was winning on pure intuition, pure, that we call it wisdom, but whatever. He just thought his way through a fight, you know. And Bernard Hopkins, smart guys, you know, street smart mostly, but they weren't academically, but they had some advantage intellectually. So a lot of the fighters you see them fighting dumb fights. You know, they seem to fall asleep. You know, you hear guys, the corners, telling them what they should do to win, and they go out and do the same things over again. You start to think that boxers are really morons. I used to box amateur. We aren't. But they seem to be stupid. You know, hit him. You got a guy, he's on the ropes, he's hurt. The guy steps back and watches, regards his handiwork. Dude, you're an idiot. So that's what you I don't know why that is, but you know what I mean.
That's true, though. But Sal, before we let you go, because we're about to talk about the I almost blanked out, Grenadier Golovkin fight. Did you watch it last night?
I had to. Both of you, I really had to watch it. Like you say, Golovkin is an unknown commodity, and Proska also unknown commodity. I don't know. I know he was defeated before, but he wasn't knocked out, and they just stepped up their game. I mean, come on, there's a lot of fighters who were undefeated in their home country, never fought outside of it, maybe had some setups so they had limited competition, and then when they stepped up their game and fought world-class fighters, you know, they were stopped, so they're still unknown commodities. What I saw wasn't a bad fight, but I mean, any of us who are boxing, any familiar with the boxing, not just the game, but the moves and the sports. You know, I saw some. I didn't think that Golovkin was exceptional in terms of his skills. He just had somebody there who he could knock out. But I wonder, somebody like a Sergio Martinez, who's really a world class fighter. I mean, as far as a boxer's concerned, he's really a complete fighter. Chin. Every fight, those fights, a couple of those last four fights he had were knockouts, right? And a few of them he was trailing, but he adapted, and that's a championship. That's a champion. So I don't know if Golovkin has that same ability. We have to see.
Right, I agree. All right, Sal, man, it's a great call. Thanks for calling in, man. It's great. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for both of you. God bless. Bye.
So since we're on that note, Emily, let's talk about this Golovkin-Proska fight. First of all, you tell me exactly what you saw, what you thought about it, and then I'm going to go ahead and give you my opinion.
Like I said, it just was completely outclassed. Like, it was kind of, I don't want to say a boring fight. It was exciting to watch him and see his, kind of debut in my life, if not, many other American boxing fans. But I just felt like it was Proska was outclassed and, like, really bad. And again, the heart on that guy, he just kept getting up. And honestly, I wouldn't argue with somebody that said that the stoppage was a little premature. You know, was the guy losing really badly? Yes. But when he got up from that knockdown, he looked ready to go. Like, he didn't look like he should have been waved off at that point. I mean, I'm not going to argue the stoppage because he obviously was outclassed, obviously losing the fight by quite a bit. And, with knocks flat in his face. But he... he did look fine, when he got up and gave his gloves to the ref.
I agree with you, but I'm gonna say this. I'm gonna throw this out there, and I'll probably, if anyone calls and talks about it or on Twitter, I'm probably gonna get a lot of crap for it. Proska to me looked at one point in the fight that he was just there to be an opponent, and that he even believed he had no chance. There's just times in the fight you see his facial expressions. He just looked like a bean man already. I think that's had a lot to do why the fight was stopped. But one thing I'll say this about Golovkin, and look, I'm not, like I said, I'm not going to jump totally on this whole hype bandwagon Kool-Aid type thing on Golovkin. I mean, I like him. He's fun to watch, and he's great. I talked to our producer, David Chen, earlier. I mean, he's a great for the division. He's entertaining. He's great. But like our last caller said, how about against a world-class fighter? We already seen that Golovkin takes shots. He gets hit. His defense is not the greatest because he knows that if he'll take a shot, he'll give you one or two hard shots. And that's what's deadly is he has those heavy hands, as we see. I mean, those body punches that he was landing were just incredible. It hurt me. I was having a beer, and I think I spit my beer out when Proska took a body shot because it hurt me. So I like Golovkin. I don't think he's technically ready maybe for the world-class fighter, but I want to see him step up and maybe like maybe a number 3, 4, or 5 ranked type fighter. I think there's a lot of fights out there for him, though. That's the one thing. We got we talked about Gil. There's Kid Chocolate. I'd like to see him fight that. That'd be a good test for both of them to see who is the real deal, because a lot of people don't believe in Kid Chocolate. You know, a lot of people believe he's a hype job.
Right.
There's a bunch of fighters, though, in that division. And Golovkin, what I like about Golovkin is he has no fear. The guy said, I would fight anyone at the, what was it, the 160. He'll go from down to 154 to up to 168. Like, he doesn't care. He just wants to fight. And he looks like a sincere, real – he doesn't look like he's just saying it just to gain fans. He looks like he means it. He looks like a guy who wants to go in the ring and just fight and knock your head off. And I like that. And he's got a good attitude. He's always smiling. He's the funny kind of guy, you know?
Yeah, he definitely seems fan-friendly. I know he's active on Twitter. And, you know, like you said, I think everybody wants to see more of him. I mean, no question.
Yeah, and definitely he's got a lot of help from fans, because, I mean, there's some people on Twitter that might as well be his promoter the way they hype him up. I mean, that's good and all, but, man, like...
I didn't know who he was until, I mean, there's a couple people on Twitter, like you were saying, they're like, God, I'm like, all right, I really got to check this guy out. I mean, he's obviously great, and, I mean, they're right. I know that the show I'm on Tuesday, Alec Kohut has said for a long time that he's kind of the real deal, so, I mean... His fans are his fans, so he made his debut to me, like I said, and probably many other Americans, so I'm looking forward to seeing him. And like you said, he is fan-friendly, he's humble, smiling, he speaks English, he does a good job. I think he's going to be good.
You know, one thing I'll say, though, and, you know, it kind of sounds like I don't like the guy the way I'm talking about him, but let me say what I like about him a lot is I have heard of him for a while. I've seen a lot of old footage on him. I know a lot about his amateur background. And that's the one thing that he has a lot of other guys who end up being overhyped. He has a great amateur background. He's beaten a lot of great fighters. You got a great trainer in the corner, Abel Sanchez. He's training out in Big Bear for most of the time, I think. And he just seems like, you know, he's always had. Now, he doesn't look like the guy who's going to fall into the glitz and glamour or anything. You know, he doesn't look like he's going to get distracted with living in the United States. And that's where I think a lot of these people that come from overseas to out here, they fought their work ethic because they see all the glitz and glamour, especially if you come to, like, you know, California. You see that a lot, or anywhere where there's a lot of partying and women and all that stuff around them, a lot of yes men. To me, he looks like he has a good tight unit, a tight circle. He has his brother in his corner as well. I think he could be the real deal. I just want to see more of him before I go out and buy a ticket for his fan club, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
Now, we'll probably get more to this later, but we do have our first guest on. He's been listening. He's ready to go. I know he's excited just as we are. He is he's 12-0 undefeated prospect. He fights out of Mayweather Boxing Club. He's also from Michigan. This is the man, Jay Leon Love. Jay Leon, what's going on, brother?
Hey, what's going on, man? Thanks for having me on.
Man, thanks for coming on, man. Now, I think a lot of people know about you, but go ahead, first start off and tell everyone a little bit about you and, you know, your career, what got you to where you're at now.
Okay, well, I'm Jay Leon Love, middleweight, from Detroit, Michigan, now boxing out of Las Vegas, Nevada. So I'm 12-0. I got a fight coming up September 8th. It's going to be televised on Showbox Extreme on the Randall Bailey undercard. Devin Alexander, Randall Bailey undercard. Now the Matisse, now that it's canceled or whatever. But yeah, I'm just a guy trying to, you know, get out here and show the world what I got.
All right, now look, Jay Leon, you got a lot of people, you know, say that you're one of the top prospects, and so far you look like the real deal. Does the attention put added pressure on you at all? All this attention you're getting at only being 12-0.
No, man, you know, I'm only 12-0. I still got a lot to learn. I still got a lot of room to grow. So right now, I mean, people can say whatever, but you get a lot of guys to go out here. I'm definitely confident in myself, in my ability. I know what I can do. I know I work very hard. So, you know, God, you know, bless me with this talent, and I'm going to take it all away. But, you know, you get a lot of prospects and guys that are young, and, you know, get in the limelight, and, you know, people start talking about their name and what they can do and go out and flop. You know, it's very easy to do that when it comes to the light. So, me, it's just, you know, staying focused on what I got to do. You know, I have a fight coming up September 8th, and we just looking to show out like we've been doing, put our skill, show, you know, that what we got, and, you know, and get that victory.
Now we were talking about this before we had you on, if you were listening. What's your take on Gennady Golovkin?
Oh, man, that was a pretty solid fight. You know, the guy has some good skill. I don't really know how to say his name that well, but I know they're both not too known in the States, you know, but they had a lot of hype coming up. Well, one of the guys, the middleweights, had one of the hype. So I didn't really check it out too much. I saw a few clips and things like that. I seen it was very strong, and it might have had a little premature stoppage to the fight, but it was a good fight.
All right. Now, for a lot of people that don't know, you know, like you said earlier, you're from Michigan. You trained for a while before going to Mayweather Boxing Club at Crunch Boxing Gym, right?
Yeah, correct.
Yeah, what made you leave Kronk to come out to Vegas?
Well, you know, Kronk is a beautiful gym, man. So many talented fighters there, all over Detroit, not just Kronk. It's so many different gyms, so they hold so much talent. But, you know, I was just looking to, you know, I was always told, well, if you want to go play soccer and things like that, you go to Brazil, or you can go to the UK and play, you know, things like that. But if you want to go to boxing, you got to go with boxing. That's really it, and that's Las Vegas, so... I knew that if I really wanted to pursue my dream, go for it, get out there, take a chance. And Las Vegas was calling my name, and that's where I've been ever since. So I came out here in December, and here we are, you know, doing good at the Mayweather Boxing Gym, putting in good work, and, you know, just trying to establish myself in the boxing game.
What's the difference for you, you know, from Crunch to the Mayweather Gym? I mean, sparring partners, I mean, I know you got a lot of talented people over there and a lot of well-known fighters over there. What's been the big difference from Crunk and the Mayweather Boxing Club for you?
Well, you know, it's not really a big difference because, like I said, it's so much talent, you know. It's talent in the Mayweather gym, you know, and there's so much talent in Crunk gym. So when you go to these gyms, man, you want to stand out. You know, you want to know the person, you know, you want to be the best in the gym. And that's how it is. So you got so many guys competing, you know, down there to be the best, and you know, just that's what you know helps you, you know, become a better fighter, because you don't want to be, you know, you don't want to get left in the trail and behind. So you just step up and do what you got to do, and it just makes you work harder. So both gyms, man, it's not really a big difference. It's just, you know, Crunk is Crunk. It has a different atmosphere. You know, both gyms are so hot. You know, Las Vegas has this heat. You know, the old original Crunk where I came from was maybe about 105 degrees, you know, in the wintertime. So it was, you know, just a hot, blazing gym with so much, you know, gritty and dirt and grime. You know, that's just how it is. You know, Mayweather's gym is a little bit cleaner, but the Crunk was a little bit dirty, but it was a real gym, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm sure Mayweather doesn't want his gym to get all gritty and grimy out there. But was it a hard adjustment, though, from changing your living environment, you know, coming from Michigan to Las Vegas, the Sin City, the party town?
It wasn't too bad, man. You know, when you first move into this place, you don't really know much. I just knew where the gym was and how to get home at first. And I knew, you know, I would get lost and I would just look up and say, well, there's the MGM, so let me go this way. You know what I mean? So, you know, other than that, man, it wasn't really too much. I'm not big into the hanging out and the partying. I still go to the strip and take pictures. Like, I haven't lived here for months now, you know what I mean? So it's just something that, you know, that's about all I do. I'm not the big club type of guy. I definitely don't gamble. I like to keep my money in my pocket, you know. So you know, it's not too much, you know, that can really distract me. Yeah, it is Sin City, and it's a lot of things that can grab your attention and take you away and, you know, and get you off track. But man, I love boxing so much. And, you know, coming from where I came from and how I grew up, I never thought that this sport would take me to this, you know, to people to know my name and know me as a good fighter, or, you know, say that I'm a future world champion and things like that. So all my focus and attention is on boxing, you know, and, you know, just trying to better myself and my craft, so.
Jaylee, this is Emily. Thank you for coming on the show. I know that I kind of reached out to
problem.
You. You've done some sparring with David Benavidez, who I work with, huh?
I
know that.
That kid is hot, man, really, yeah.
Yeah, he's a little bigger than you are, but yeah, that he said that was some great sparring he had, and they really enjoyed it up there, sparring with you guys.
Oh, yeah, we loved him, man, you know, and we're looking to get back, you know, we didn't know that he was maybe only 15 or 16, you know,
yeah,
and so that's crazy, and this kid is talented. I mean, I hear that, you know, he goes to the gym and runs over people a lot, so, you know, he came down, we gave him some good work, and, you know, it was good work for us as well, so, you know, a very talented man, dude has a bright future for sure.
Yeah, thank you. I'll let him know you said that. I'll appreciate it.
Yeah.
Speaking of sparring, I know that you're helping Chad Dawson get ready, or have been helping Chad get ready for Saturday, and I know that you helped Floyd get ready. And what other sparring have you gotten there? What has that been like, you know, somebody that came, is coming up in boxing, sparring with some of these, you know, top-level pros?
Yeah, well, you know, we only spar with Chad for one day. You know, we're just, you know, just to keep busy, you know, just to get a different look for sparring. They asked me, you know, it was no problem, you know, just to get it. Why not get that world-class sparring before I actually go into a fight myself? So we went over and we had some good work with Chad, only a few rounds, but it was pretty good. And, you know, Floyd Mayweather, come on, is Floyd Mayweather one of the best in the game? You know, to spar with him, man, is unbelievable. You never know what he's going to have you do, maybe a six-minute round, maybe a seven-minute round, or you may go 8 or 9 minute rounds, you know what I mean? You just don't know. So you definitely got to be mentally prepared, physically prepared. So, you know, he's one of the best for the reason. The guy, you know, works so hard, works like he's a broke man. So I had a chance to work with Antonio Margarito, you know, and that dude is just so aggressive and a beast, just a come forward, you know, your typical Mexican fighter, come forward, you know, aggressive, take a lot of punches, but, you know, I had a chance to get that style of boxing as well. So, I mean, coming up as a young fighter, I think that benefits me a lot, you know, to being able to share the ring with such, you know, classy and notable guys like those.
And I know you work with Bob Ware. I met him here in Phoenix, really quiet guy, but I hear that, you know, from a strength and conditioning standpoint, he's one of the best out there.
Oh, definitely, man. We really just started. This is my second fight working with Bob, and Bob is a beast, you know. Definitely has you in shape. I feel like we can fight 12 rounds now if we have to. You know, we get that good sparring. But just, man, his whole workout, all his workouts, and just his – he has an agenda of what he wants you to do, and it's unbelievable, but it definitely takes you to that point to let you know that you're ready for whatever fight that you have in attached.
Now, training at the Mayweather gym, I understand that Floyd comes in kind of at all hours of the night to train. He trains a lot at night. Is that any? Have you picked up any of those habits of training in the middle of the night?
Yeah, we have picked that up. You know, you never know. We just wake up and get out. Maybe we may not hit the gym, or we'll just go to here we call it Mount Charleston. It's the mountains. It's so high in the sky. It's maybe like 9,000, 10,000 feet elevation, you know, so. And we get up, go out there, and just go run. We call the crew, hey, what's up, guys? Y'all ready? What you doing? Oh, so some guys may be coming in from hanging out, or we say, oh, lace up, let's roll out. We're going to the mountains, and we head out, and we just go put the work in, you know. So I think that's something I definitely picked up from Floyd, and you know, just, you know, being out here, it gives you that drive. I ride past the MGM, and I want to be able to fight in that place and headline there. And, you know, I look at the taxi cabs, and I see, you know, Canelo versus Lopez and things like that. And one day I see myself on, you know, being out there like that, and, you know, have those advertisements of me, Jay Leon versus whoever, you know. So, you know, it just drives you. It gives you that hunger. It keeps you hungry because this is what you want. You want in Las Vegas. You want, who doesn't want a headline in Las Vegas? So this is definitely where you want to be.
I saw that you fought Sean Porter as an amateur, and I'll point out your amateur career. I read online was 115-5. That's a really good record. And you fought Sean Porter. Is there anyone you fought as an amateur that you'd like to meet in the pros, that, you know, the current pro that, you know, you could see yourself fighting as a professional?
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a tons of them, man. It's a lot of them out there. I fought Sean. I think it was my first national tournament. I made it to the finals of the National Golden Gloves. And Sean Porter, I mean, he had a lot more experience than me during the time. But all those guys, you know, he beat me, you know, I think like a 2-3 decision or something like that. But, you know, it was great to share the ring with Sean. You know, now he's a champion. And, you know, just any of the guys that's out there, you know, I'm hungry. I'm looking to make my name. And we fight, you know, when we get our opponents, we don't question who they are. And we just, you know, we say okay, and we train, and we go out there and deliver what we have to. So, you know, anybody, I'm not the type to really shout out and call no names and stuff like that. You know, I just, you know, let them lay wherever they come. You know, so that's what I do. I'm a fighter. You know, I just fight whoever.
And I saw in your first fight, your pro debut. I watched it on YouTube. You were down twice in that fight, and you came back to win. What were you thinking when you're like, dang, I've been down twice? You know, what made you drive on and win that fight? I think you won by knockout.
Yeah, my pro debut, I don't know which video he was watching. I've never been knocked down in a fight. So, I think we came out and we won the rounds, you know, not too easy, but, you know, we dominated the rounds. My pro debut, I think I fought a Vincent Burkhalter in in my pro debut in Connecticut, I believe so.
I'll have to check that out. I don't know what I was watching. I think I knocked Ben. I don't know. Okay.
Yeah. I dropped him twice. Yeah, I think that was it.
So you're probably thinking, yeah, this is going exactly as planned. That's probably what you're thinking.
yeah, I was kind of lost for a minute, but yeah. No, it was good, you know, trying to showcase my skill.
And, I understand that you have kind of a backup career possibly in modeling. Is that correct? Or have you done some modeling?
I have done some modeling. You know, I started it at a young age. I think I started like 16. But, you know, it was something to try. You know, it happened, I was at Crump Gym, and I'm a real silly person. If you guys see me in the gym, I talk a lot of junk, you know, make jokes, crack jokes on people. That's just the person I am. So I see this lady come down. I don't know who she is at all. Her name is Kate Moss, but during the time, I didn't know who Kate Moss was. She was like the biggest British superstar model around, you know what I mean? So I see this lady come in, and we're all shirtless, sweating, and I just start cracking jokes. Hey, what's up, baby? But you know, just having fun being myself. And, you know, I guess, the guy, her agents and everybody else liked what they saw. So they were like, hey, man, you got a personality. It's much different from everybody else's. We want you to, you know, come and take pictures. And I laughed it off. Man, I don't take no pictures. That's not what I'm about. Blah, blah, blah. You know, the whole nine. He was like, no, really, you should try it. I went, and it's something I've been doing. But I haven't done it in a while. I want to get back into it. I'm just more focused on boxing. So, you know, it's something that definitely, you know, you want to have something, a backup plan, you know, and I guess that could be one for me.
Hey, man, that's, you know, even though this is a boxing show, man, that's definitely a good backup plan, man, especially if you take a picture of Kate Moss. You know what? Let me ask you that. Like, you know, how was that, taking a picture with someone as gorgeous as she is, man? Like, it's got to be kind of, well, you know, you're an all-star boxer and everything, so probably not a big deal, but, you know, for a guy like me, I'd be like, man, I'm with Kate Moss, she's laying on top of me. Like, how is that going?
Look, I'm still like that right now today. Look, it was good, man. Like, you know, they flew me to New York, and here they had this big, like, maybe about 1,000 cameras out, man, and, you know, they were changing me and changing my socks and telling me to change in these tight clothes, and I just, you know, I wasn't comfortable with it, but, you know, I knew, hey, you know, it's all fun, just go ahead and have fun and roll with it, so, you know, they had me lay on top of her, and it was kind of like, You know, you don't want to make a mistake. Is my breath smelling? What is it? I put on deodorant. You know what I mean? Dang. Oh, what is she thinking? You know what I mean? You never know. Am I doing the right pose? I mean, is this right? Maybe, you know. So it was kind of crazy. But, you know, I did what I had to do, and they liked it. It was crazy. I was young, you know. So everybody was like, man, that's Kate Moss. And I had to really go and Google who this lady was. Like, who is Kate Moss? And here you have it. She's all in Louis Vuitton and this and that. And I was like, wow, this is crazy, you know.
Yeah, it's kind of, all of a sudden it became like a big deal. Like, oh man, that's like a, it's like the best box. Like you meaning like the best box in the world, you know? It's the same
right,
kind of
right.
thing, I guess. When you find out who she was.
Yeah.
Now, but back on the boxing, man. Do you feel you're ready to start making more noise and fight against better and top opposition? I know this fight coming up is. I think your opponent only has what, one loss? I think.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, so are you starting to try to step up the competition?
Yeah, I have a great team, man, Al Heyman and staff. So, you know, and we know I've been ready. You know, I have a lot of experience in the amateurs and things like that. You know, so, you know, it's just a process of moving, building a fighter. But now, you know, we're willing to take the steps that we have to. Now, you know, we're fighting a guy, Ramon Valenzuela, who's tough. I fought him in the amateurs. I think we were like 13 or 14. You know, in Chicago. And he was a tough kid there. I know he's going to be a tough kid now. I mean, a adult now. So, as a man, you know, we just, you know, I know he's going to come out strong, you know. And we're ready for it. You know, this is a step up. Yeah, he only has one loss. And he's a strong competitor. He's a tough kid. So, I know that it's going to be a fight. I'm definitely ready for it. I train my butt off. You know, I work hard every day for any fight, for any opponent. But, you know, we really just worked hard, and I know that I'm ready for whatever step-ups we have. So right now, September 8th, we're going to get it done. We're going to definitely get the job done. And, we're looking to step up and do what we have to do and show the world what we got.
Great, man. Hey, Jay Leon, before I let you go, go ahead and shout out all your social media. I know you got Twitter, your Facebook, your Instagram,
Yeah. Whatever
you got, man. Go ahead and do your shout-outs, man.
All right, well, you know, I appreciate all the people following. I appreciate you guys having me on the show. You can definitely follow me on Twitter at 2012JLove, or you can Facebook me, JLeonLove, J'LEON, last name Love, L-O-V-E. And you can, I got an Instagram, you know, it's pretty smooth, man. I got a lot of nice pictures. I got to put some more up, but you can definitely get me on Instagram at JLeonLove, J-L-E-O-N-L-O-V-E. So hit me up anytime. I'll definitely get back and follow back or whatever else. So get at me.
Definitely, man. Again, I thank you for coming on the show, man. It's great having you on, man. You're always welcome to call in and chop it up with Just Talk Boxing if you want, man, whenever you want. Good luck on your fight coming up.
Thanks a lot, man. I appreciate it.
No problem. Thank you.
Bye.
Well, that was Jay Leon Love. Emily, man, he's got the fight coming up. He's finally stepping up a little bit of competition. I like him a lot. I've seen him fight a few times. I've got to meet him a few times in Vegas. He's a nice guy. What do you think about him?
I'm excited about him. I mean, you know, his last fight gave us all something to be excited about, you know, and I'm looking forward to seeing how he does on Saturday. I'll be watching on Showtime Extreme.
Definitely. And see, right there, I didn't even have to say. You went and go ahead and plugged it in. It'll be on Showtime Extreme. And that's the one thing. Let me talk about that. Showtime Extreme, that's a great move. I don't know why HBO doesn't do this. I think it's a great thing that they do this, show all the undercards. You know, and it makes it a lot easier for someone like me and even you, Emily, since you've been co-hosting with me and, you know, Joel. We have, instead of just watching on the link, all the undercards, since we talk about all the undercards, having it on Show Extreme just makes it so much easier. And it's just good for the fighters in general. It puts it out there. And I think Showtime's doing a hell of a job, a bang-up job, and they're really making HBO look like garbage.
It is nice. You know, and I used to kind of be very biased towards HBO just because I felt like the production quality and the commentating was better on HBO. I enjoyed the productions more and the quality of the camera work, the just like I said, the production quality. But you're right. So from a fan's perspective, Showtime's really stepping it up and doing a good job being able to expose us to more of these cards. And it's good for the fighters, too, to get exposure.
Definitely, definitely. And I think that's the most important thing, is getting those fighters exposure. I mean, how many times we wouldn't know what the hell an undercard, who's on the undercard or who's even fighting unless they go through a quick rundown, you know? But now that they're showing that, it's a great job. And I like, kind of like you, I like HBO, not so much for the commentating. I like their production quality. I like the camera work normally. But Showtime has, to me, I mean, I used to not like them because of the camera work. To me, it looked kind of gritty, kind of looked dark. You know, now they stepped it up. It's looking a lot better. I mean, I always like their commentating, especially Al Bernstein, the legend, who I'm always a fan of listening to. In fact, they're Leaving in the Ring, they did a great interview with him. I think our good friend over at Punches and Bunches did an interview with him recently, too. And great people. He's a great guy. He's a funny guy and entertaining, you know, so. Shout out to Showtime for doing that. And I want HBO to start doing that. They have that. I think they have the HBO Zone. It's like the same thing as Showtime Extreme. They might as well do it on that channel. But
yeah, it would be nice. Or show them later or something. It just would be, as a boxing fan, you know, the more exposure we have to the cards, the better. And, you know, even, you know, I like Top Rank, you know, will show their cards online, their undercards, the untelevised portion of the undercards. And I really like that. I wish, you know, Golden Boy would do that. I wish they would all, you know, do that.
Definitely, and that's a great thing that Top Rank does that too. Like I said, although I like Show Extreme doing it because it's on TV, if you make it easier for me to find a link for it, I mean, I like that. I mean, we got a guy who gives us the link who will be coming on later, Ryan Bivens over at Sweet Boxing. But you know, that's just a good thing that when it's so much easier to get to. But on that note, let's talk about the undercard of Boxing After Dark. I know you have a lot to say. We're gonna talk about. I want to know what you thought of the fight between the draw that happened between Jonathan, I ate too much before the weigh-in, Gonzalez versus Sergey Dzemski. I never say the name. You know who I'm talking about.
Yeah. I don't ever want to see that pudgy dude again. Like, I'm so angry. Like, I don't know if I'm allowed to rant about this now. Do you want me to wait?
No, we can talk about it. We can rant about it later. It's okay.
I have lots of ranting to do, so I have plenty for both segments. But how are you going to come in 9 pounds overweight, first of all? How are you even going to get on the scale and have, like, no shame about getting up there, hey, guys, I'm ready to make weight? I mean, if you're a pound over in the hotel room and you're hoping the scale gives you the benefit of the doubt and you strip down, you know, with a towel and the whole nine, all right. 9 pounds over, I wouldn't even come out of my hotel room. That is embarrassing. And then, you know, to actually let the fight go forward, what message is that sending out to the rest of boxing? Like, make weight, schmate weight, we don't care. Like, it's not a little bit. Like, it was bad enough with, you know, Broner and his 3 pounds and the 10 pounds and all that crap. This is just unacceptable, and I, you know, I saw him walk in all pudgy, and I'm like, dude, you're kidding me. This guy's making a mockery of the sport. He had to give up half his purse. This dude came in 9 pounds overweight and still made $60,000. I can't even, like, wrap my head around that at all. What kind of message does that send? Like, we're still going to let you fight, and we're going to let you fight on Boxing After Dark, which is, you know, a huge platform. Please bring your pudgy self to the ring and do the best you can. Try to pant your way through it, and here's $60,000, and I cannot get behind that.
You know, it's funny. You know, his – what is it? I just lost my train of thought. He came in so heavy, man, and I just can't – like you said, I can't even wrap my head around it. It's horrible. Now, this is one thing. I think boxing needs to start doing something where these fighters, if they come in overweight – forget about the fining, you know, or whatever. Like, $60,000 is enough money. It's a nice little payday for someone that didn't have to work the hardest work and condition themselves and make weight. You know, how about starting to suspend them? You know,
suspend them, fine them.
Until a slap on the hand.
I think, you know, the fact that these other fighters are still coming into the ring, they're put in this, like, horrible position of, do I go ahead and take the fight, you know, the day before? Do I take this fight, put myself at further risk against somebody that is coming in way heavy? I mean, who knows? I didn't see what he weighed the night of the fight, probably, like, 100 pounds over or something. if he drained down at all for that 9 pounds over – Why do these fighters that are working their butts off to make weight, why do they have to be put in a position to make that choice? Do I take the opportunity to fight on Boxing After Dark when I may or may not get another one? And, you know, and do I put myself at risk for this opportunity and risk losing the fight because it's not a fair match at that point? Like, it just grosses me out. Like, I was really, really irritated about it, obviously, because I'm still talking about it right now.
Well, on a good note, though, I was very happy to see Sirhan fight to a draw. I mean, to me, that's a big win for him, the fact that he was at a somewhat of a disadvantage, a weight disadvantage, you know, and he was fighting against a guy who a lot of people, I think, thought that Johnson Gonzalez, if he even came on in on the right weight, would probably easily handle Sirhan. I mean, it might have been challenged, but Gonzalez is a fighter that a lot of people are somewhat high up on. But instead, it was Sirhan, actually, to me, still in the show. Fighting, staying in there, you know, just grinding it out. And he fought to a draw. I like the call. I think it was the right decision. I think that draw is technically a loss for Jonathan and a win for Sirhan. And good for him. He came up with a little bit richer, you know, in his pockets. He got a little bit extra money, if I'm not mistaken. And he made Jonathan look like a fat slob and slow. I mean, Jonathan looks slow. His new name is, and I'm crediting you, Emily, for giving him this nickname. His new name is Jonathan Pudge Gonzalez from now on.
Yeah, man, so. I'm over this guy. I hope I never have to see him again. If I see him, it better be after he fights like 10 fights, making weight no problem on, you know, untelevised undercards and busting his ass like the rest of the sport is doing to make weight. And I don't need to see him again on Boxing After Dark or anywhere, actually. I'd like to see him at a gym.
Yeah.
And not near the vending machines, more towards like the workout machines.
You just said that he's gonna be the new spokesman for Trim Spa, is that what you just said?
I think you know, he's gonna be one of those, you know, sometimes they hire celebrities, like a Weight Watcher, and they pay him for,
yeah,
like Jenny Craig. He's like Kirstie Alley. That's gonna be like him. We need him for men's Nutrisystem or whatever the hell's up there for men. I'm over it. Like, I'm just so irritated that the fight went on. Again, how many times have we seen fighters missing weight and the fight continuing? These fighters still getting paid. I get it. You got the slot, but you have an undercard. Move somebody up that deserved the exposure, that made weight. You know, I don't think anybody's going to cry because this guy got kicked off of Boxing After Dark by any stretch. I'd be like, good, he got what he deserved. And that would send a much better message to the other fighters in the business. Don't miss weight because we're not going to give you this exposure, even if he just got exposed to, you know, have people laugh at him.
Yeah, I believe that if you miss weight by a lot, like 9 pounds, you definitely should get taken off at least the TV slot. Maybe not just that, though, because in a way that kind of punishes your opponent. Because that was
true.
Good for Sirhan. You know, he got his exposure. But I think when you miss weight by that much, instead of just a fine, I'm telling you, I think a suspension is warranted. I don't know. I don't care how long it is, but maybe, you know, a year suspension, or how about a 2-fight suspension that can't be on national television? Something
yeah,
like that.
Why are we fining people for loading their gloves, but, or, you know, suspending people for a year? But this guy's coming at 9 pounds overweight, which also puts his opponent at risk. Maybe not in the same way, but it's cheating. You're gaining an unfair advantage. You're gaining an unfair advantage in the fight, and that's cheating. And you should not be able to fight. Period. The fact that they went through with the fight, what if he'd failed a steroid test before the fight? They wouldn't have gone through with it. It's the same thing. You're gaining an unfair advantage going into the fight. And I'm just hoping we don't see anything like this going on September 15th with Chavez and Martinez. I said
it. And you know, last, yeah, you said it. I was waiting for someone to say it. Last week we had on, which guest we have on? They had the same day weigh-in.
That was Young.
I'm sorry, which one?
Jovan Young.
Yeah.
Jovan Young.
Yeah, and he did a same-day weigh-in. I mean, imagine, you know, he made weight on the same-day weigh-in, and he even knows it's going to be a same-day weigh-in. That shows
yeah.
that he had a lot of hard work, and no pun intended that we just had Jay Leon Love, but hard work and dedication in his training camp. You know, he dedicated himself to his craft and made weight on the same day. I mean, that's a lot of work. You know, this guy, Jonathan Gonzalez, knew about the weigh-in, and it's the day before the fight. And he came in as a pudgy, you know, 9-pound Pillsbury doughboy that ate too many, you know, empanadas or whatever, you know, like, it's too much.
You know, well,
and go ahead.
I'd like to hear the, you know, because I'm sure that his manager had to make the call to the promoter before and say, hi, A, we're not going to make weight. B, can you let the executives at HBO know? I mean, it's embarrassing on HBO's part for putting that fight on. Like you said, I don't want to punish his competitor, but that fight should have been canceled. And it's just, you know, and maybe he gets the whole purse, both purses, whatever. You know, he gets compensated for that. But to have to take that risk, you know, bodily injury risk, take the fight, now he got a draw. He might have won. Who knew, you know? It's just, I really am so disappointed with that fight going forward. I'm so disappointed with the message it sends about weigh-ins, and I'm just disgusted with the whole thing. I don't know if you got that vibe.
Well,
sorry.
Well, Emily, take a deep breath. Rusa, we got our next guest on, and I think it's kind of funny. This is a perfect segue since we're talking about Jonathan Gonzalez eating too much. We got he's a chef in his own manner, I guess. Is this making his sandwich? He's ready to be on Javier Garcia. What's going on, Javier?
Hey, man. I'm a chef. What? What'd you say? That's funny, man. How's it going, man?
Oh, pretty good, man. Welcome to the Boxing Fix, man. I'm going to let Emily go ahead. My name is Josh, man. I'm going to let Emily go ahead and talk to you first, ask you some questions, man.
Okay, sounds good.
Javier, nice to talk to you. Last time we saw each other, it was in a super, super, super crowded dressing room, the most crowded one I've been in. It was standing room only.
Yeah, in Tucson, right? Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Everything's been good. Thanks for having me, by the way, on here. It's a pleasure. You contacted me because I'm a chef.
Well, you know, this is one thing I want to touch on, because a lot of fighters, we watch 24/7, we watch the Showtime one, whatever it is, and we see a lot of fighters go through trials and tribulations. And I understand that you had to, as recently as this week, make your own sandwich. Can you tell us about that?
No, it's because I like to have fun. I like to have a good time. I'm a comedy type of person. On Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram, I like to start stuff, you know, like I don't mean to be sexist or you know, prejudiced against anybody.
You never come off as sexist, no problem.
No, you know, it's because we have this group on Facebook called MAG, Men Against Abusive Girls, all right? It's just something funny, you know, that we all created. It was like three of us that we created it, and I don't know, man, we got about like 600-700 members within a month, within 4 weeks. Everybody just started joining, and then I don't know, it got a little big. They made me a shirt, you know, President Felo Garcia as MAG, you know, MAG president. I don't know, man, but you know, it's nothing that I'm sexist. It's just, you know, I like to have a good time and talk about a lot of topics. So I recently had to make my own sandwich because you know, there's 3.67 billion girls in the world, women in the world, and there was none on my site to make me a sandwich.
Is it those types of challenges that have made you the fighter that you are today? I'm
oh,
sorry.
Yeah, that was the toughest thing I've ever done besides boxing.
Yeah, I bet. When I saw that, I'll tell you what, man, you have me rolling every day on Twitter and Facebook. You guys don't follow him on Facebook and Twitter. You have to today. Go follow him right now, because. And the other thing, you're very adorable about with you and your wife and your son Julian. Super awesome. Like his son, you know, he's always posting pictures, very cute and funny.
Yeah.
And, you know, not following him is definitely something you want to be doing. And I was gonna ask you about the MAG thing, because I know that's a big part
it
of your.
It's actually got pretty big. You know, I got Nonito Donair. So when it first started, I was getting everybody to throw up the MAG sign. You know, it's like a okay sign, but upside down, you know, and that's MAG. And I remember when it started, you know, I was getting everybody, Brandon, Robert, you know, anybody that I could throw up the mag, and Margarito. And, well, I texted Donaire, you know, I was, like, hoping he'd text me back, you know. I mean, it's, you know, I'm thinking, you know, this Donaire, he's probably busy or something, right? But I texted him, and I was like, hey, bro, can, you know, do me a big favor, throw me up a mag sign, and I'll explain it later. You got to do this and that. And, like, right away, within a few minutes, he texted me back with a – he emailed me, actually. He emailed me the picture of him throwing up a mag sign. I guess his wife, Rachel, took the picture and emailed it to me and stuff, and I was like, damn, you know, I even got, you know, Donaire to throw up the mag sign. So I mean, it got pretty big after that, you know. It was pretty funny.
Yeah, it's funny stuff. Yeah, definitely follow Javier on Facebook and Twitter if you don't already. Now, in terms of, you know, you mentioned Garcia, Javier's trained by Robert Garcia. Is he your, how is he related to you? I know that Mikey's your cousin, right? So Robert is what, your uncle?
My uncle, my mom's brother.
Yeah, okay.
He's my uncle. Mike is my mom's brother as well. We started at the same time, started boxing at the same time, and I don't know, we all liked it, and we just stick with it, and my grandpa and Robert were behind us and just supporting us, and you know, we're all taking it as far as we can.
Now, one way, if you want to get to know Javier, you know from afar, you can check out on YouTube. Ellie Stuckback is in the gym, the Robert Garcia Boxing Gym in Oxnard, all the time, taping you guys.
Yeah.
And from those videos, it seems like the gym there has, a really family-friendly, like, not family-friendly, but you guys are all family. Like, it's a very friendly gym. You guys all seem to get along. I know that my fighters, Jose and David, have been there training. Trevor McCombie's been there. And they've all just had really nice things to say about you guys. It's a real family-type feel. Is that the sense that you have there? You seem really comfortable there?
Yeah, definitely. It's always been like that. I'm not gonna lie and say that just recently with the guys. No, it's always been like that. Even when we were back in Colonia, when we first started, it's always been like that. We've always respected each other, and we had fun. Robert and I believe, you know, that people gotta have fun. You know, the fighters gotta have fun while they train. Not necessarily messing around and playing. No, when it's time to work, you work. You know, but you know, on breaks or, you know, even after, you know, why not enjoy yourself at the gym? Some place you love to be at, you know, why make it a job? You know, it's something that you have to do loving it. And, you know, Jose and his name David, right? His brother.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I remember them going there and, you know, we showed them love, but if they would have been there longer, of course it would have been a lot better. But, Brandon. Excuse me?
I said they enjoyed being over there. Everybody I've talked to enjoys that gym.
Yeah, it's a fun gym. You know, pranks are pulled out all the time. I like to pull the pranks, but I don't want to get out of hand either, you know. Me and I don't know if you guys saw on 24/7 with Robert, you know, doing his car, and Kelly Pavlik threw that snake in my bag, and, you know.
Yeah.
There's, you know, we pull a lot of pranks. It's fun. It's a fun environment, you know, not just for pros, but for kids, you know, that go and train there. It's fun as well for them. Plus, they get to meet all the you know, the superstars, you know, all those fighters, and, you know, should motivate them as well.
Yeah, that's good. Now, during your boxing career, you haven't fought easy fighters. Like, you're not somebody that picked up a, you know, that, you know, has been babied or brought along slowly by any stretch. I know your second loss is against Gaddafi Proctor, who is not a bum. He is a very strong fighter. And I'm wondering, you know, you took a break from boxing after that. So tell me, what made you come back to the sport? You know, what was behind your decision to take the break and then, of course, come back to the sport?
Well, there was a few things. I can't just say it was one thing or two things. It was actually, you know, I turned pro at 18. You know, I turned pro at 18 right after high school, signed with Top Rank and everything, and everything was going well and stuff. And I don't know if you guys know about my third fight. I don't want to get into detail in it or anything, but something occurred, of course, that I wouldn't have wanted to happen. And after that, I can't really blame that, like, completely, because I did have my child after that, and you know, I just didn't want to do it anymore. I remember fighting again after my third fight. So in my fourth fight, I won in the first round knockout, and again, you know, the guy was pulled out in the stretcher, and I don't know. I fought again, you know, two more times, and it was just for the money, and I thought I wanted to fight, and after I just decided to stop. It wasn't in my heart to do it again, to keep doing it. So I wasn't thinking about fighting after that. I was just, you know, I got a job, and I was doing pretty well and everything. But I started helping Robert. That's what actually helped me, motivated me to get back in it. I started working with Robert, with the guys, with the professionals, and I helped him train a Brandon for when he fought against Miguel Acosta. That was actually my first time in the corner. I was in the corner when he won a world title, and that actually, you know, made me think a lot. You know, I used to spar with Brandon, Mikey. Mikey's top featherweight, you know, number one now. But at the time, you know, he was top featherweight. Brandon had just won a title, and I was in the corner, and I used to spar them. It pretty much made me think about me being there. You know, I could have been there. I could have done that. Of course, you know, things, my problems or my worries aren't on other fighters. I went through my own little thing, my own little phase. And I don't know. The time was right for me to come back into fighting. And I decided to. And I'm doing pretty well now.
In the same tradition of kind of fighting some rough opponents, you're fighting on September 14th, I understand. Where's the fight going to be?
It's actually in Sacramento. I haven't really looked up into the details, but it's in Sacramento against Marty Nuke, I think. That's his last name, Marty Nuke.
That's not a soft touch for you. Like, what do you know about him?
I know a few things about him. I haven't really seen his fights because there's actually not a lot on YouTube about him. I know that he's got two knockouts out of about 12. He lost to actually Proctor. He lost to Proctor. Same person as I lost to. I believe he got dropped by him. I actually don't know much about him. I know that he's a boxer. And that he's real fast. I've heard that he's real fast. I like challenges, and I'm in it to win. I'm in it to fight. Work my way up there, and if he's the next target, then so be it.
At what weight will you be fighting on the 14th?
Excuse me?
At what weight will you be fighting on the 14th?
Oh, 135.
135.
Yeah, I'll be fighting at 135. I would like to make 130, actually. I would like to make 130. I know I can. I don't know why we haven't really pushed it to 130, but I want to make 130. I want to be fighting at 130. I think that'll be my perfect weight.
Hey, no. Javier, man. You just touched on your next opponent. You know, and like you were saying, you know, he's not a pushover. And you know, a lot of people, you know, a lot of these people nowadays, like the fighters, they kind of pad their records before they take on, like, a top guy or any kind of top competition.
Yeah.
Does it make you better as a fighter or does it hurt people, a fighter's confidence doing what you're doing, or taking on a pretty tough fight?
For me, actually, it motivates me. As making you a better fighter, of course, when they try to bring you up, of course, you know, like, you know, a lot of my first fights have, you know, people say, oh, bums here and there. But, you know, that's the way to start in every career. You know, that's the way to start people that with no experience or zero fights. But eventually you'll start getting up to the fighters where, you know, you can't just fight anybody anymore. You got to start bringing it up and the contenders and you know, bringing your career, you know, like, let it stand out as well. Like for my fighter, like this guy that I'm about to fight, you know, he's not no pushover. I like that, you know, I like that because I don't want nobody to be talking that, oh, you're fighting nobodies or anything. You know, I want a challenge as well. And, you know, it's a big motivation. Fighters, you know, I also fight Jose Romano a while back. which, man, I was really motivated. You know, things didn't happen the way we wanted them, but it's fine. But I like challenges like that, and I think every boxer should, you know, be challenged once in a while.
Do you see that fight ever happening with Jose Roman? That's going to be a really good fight.
Yeah, it would be. You know, we'll see. We'll see if it happens. You know, we've all we tried it. You know, it didn't happen. But you know, hopefully later in the future, you know, if it does, you know, I was told that we might go in October, in October at the Home Depot, on the undercard of Nonito and Brandon. So you know, it might happen. So that'd be cool. You know, that'd be real cool.
Yeah, that whole card is almost looking like a Garcia Club card, you know, like all you guys are on the same card.
Right.
Does that motivate you guys? You know, the whole team being on one same card.
Of course, it motivates all of us. You know, there's great fighters in there. You know, I don't know if you guys seen the Nelly Setback videos where they showed all the murals. I don't know if you guys seen the murals. It's the murals of you know, Kelly, Nonito, and all the champions that Roberts had. You know, seeing that, it's like, man, you know, we all the four rounders, six rounder fighters, eight rounders that are there at the gym, they want to be up there. You know, I want to be up there as well. You know, that'd be cool. That's a big honor, you know, be up with the world champions up there. And yeah, man, it's just a big motivation. There's good sparring too. You know, that's like
the other. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. You go ahead, sir.
No, that's what I was gonna say. I mean, the sparring must be incredible. You get tough sparring. I mean, you know, with Brandon, that kid hits harder than anyone in the game, pretty much. You know, you got Donaire, Pavlik, all of them. Now, when you go, let's say you're on the same card, right? Do you guys ever like? Because I know a lot of you guys, like you said, are kind of, you know, joking around. You guys like to keep it casual and loose. You guys ever say like, you know, I'm going to have a better performance than you, or you got to do something like make little side, like little friendly wagers or what?
We all do our best. And when we're sparring, it's serious. It's serious. We don't go easy. If something happens, just example, I'm not saying it's happened or anything, but if for example, I'm sparring somebody, I heard somebody, of course I'm going to lay back and wait. Either they stop it or continue, you know, but, it's serious. It gets serious in the ring. You know, a while back when I sparred Brandon, I remember one time he did tell me like the round was going to continue. He says, okay, fool, you want to let's go all out, and whoever steps back, you know, is a bitch or loses. And I was like, all right then, let's do it. All round we were just boom, boom, boom. He steps back, and then boom, boom. When he comes back, I step back, boom, boom. You know, back and forth, and that was. No, it's good. It's great sparring, you know. I mean, we can get hurt, but I mean, it's the best sparring you can get here in Austin. Here at the Roberts Gym, that's the best sparring you can see.
Now, on a serious note, man, just like I know you don't really watch the fights or whatever, but this is more of like a, I guess you could say, a work ethic issue. Jonathan Gonzalez came in 9 pounds overweight, man. What, as a fighter, what do you take that as, man? Like, how do you feel as a fighter? Like, if your opponent came over nine pounds overweight. Yeah.
9 pounds? That's a lot, man. That's like, that's showing no respect when you're 9 pounds over. I can't talk bad about people not making you weight that much because Brandon has done it as well, you know. It's kind of stupid of me to talk about it, but not really, because I know what Brandon went through. I know that it's not because he's eating. It's actually... You know, he tries his heart out to make weight. You know, man, the things that I know that he's done to make weight, it's surprising. So, but when you're 9 pounds, that's too much. I think, you know, if it was like I said, 1 or 2 pounds, half a pound or something, that's different. But you know, when you're that much overweight, that's not good. You know, it's disrespect. I guess you could say.
Yeah, totally. And I mean, even Brandon, we all know Brandon's had his weight issues, but we've seen it even on that HBO two days or whatever. I mean, we've seen how much he tries to kill himself. You know, it's just he's not at the – he shouldn't have been at that weight.
Man, and they didn't go be behind the scenes on that, man. That just shows a little bit of, you know, him making way. And he, you know, he looked like a zombie, but they didn't show what he did to make way. So, or try to make way. So, I mean, people could talk, you know. Of course, people can, you know, they, when you have an issue like that, of course, you're going to get judged, criticized, and, you know, it's part of the sport. He's not going to have any more problems. Now, if he were to have problems now at 140 or go up to 147 and have problems, then that's a whole different story. Then I'd be like, hey, man, you need to, you know, take it seriously or do something different. You're doing something wrong. But, no, I don't think he should have a problem now.
Yeah. And 9 pounds, now, I agree with. Sorry, go ahead.
Right?
Oh, go ahead, Emily. Go ahead.
I was saying, I agree that 9 pounds is a way different story than 1 or 2 pounds.
Yeah, it's a lot. 9 pounds is a lot. I could, man, you could lose, if you're 9 pounds, don't eat all day, run and train, and then you'll lose it, you know. But, I mean, well, you could lose at least 3 or 4, you know, but that's a lot. That's a lot of pounds. That probably shows that he didn't even try to make weight.
Or he did all this, and he would have been like 18 over or something.
Yeah, or that, yeah, or that. Or he tried, and yeah, you're right.
Yeah, well, Emily gave that fighter a new nickname. He is now known as Jonathan Pudge Gonzalez. So give credit, Emily, for the nickname.
Oh, man.
I think your Twitter jokes and everything has been rubbing off on Emily because she's getting a lot funny. She's like a comedian now in her own sense.
Javier, you need to get his sandwich artist on your team. That's what I'm saying. You need to get his sandwich artist on your team.
I know, man. I make some bomb ass sandwiches. go ahead, Emily.
Go ahead. Is that Julian in the background?
Yeah, that's Julian right now. I just picked him up right a little while ago. We're playing outside a little bit. He's flipping some dude off right now. I mean, I let him. People judge me sometimes because of the way I discipline him. But you know, he's a good kid. He listens to me. If I tell him not to do something, he won't do it. No, he's a kid. He's gonna do things that are expected from kids. So I'm not hard on him. So he's a good kid.
Now, before we let you go, Javier, hey man, your cousin or whatever, you know, Mikey just pulled off a big victory. How's it looking for him now? What do you feel about him? And he's trying to get the Toledo fight, right?
Yeah, that's actually, I think if I'm not mistaken, they're gonna go for Toledo, maybe in November. Mike's a real smart fighter, smartest fighter I've sparred. Or you know, actually, he's inside and outside the ring. He's smart. He's a smart person. In boxing, he's one of the hardest hitters that I sparred with. Smart. I see him become a world champion soon. It's not an easy fight against Toledo if that ends up happening. You know, I'm not saying it's the easiest, but you know, I think Mike has a lot of the advantages. Hopefully it happens, and hopefully he's found a champion, another champion of Voxner. What can I say? You know, I'm proud of him, and you know, I look up to him as a fighter and as an uncle. So, nothing but the best for him.
Well, Javier, man, thanks for coming on. Before I let you go, actually, I want you to shout out everything, you know, your Twitter, all that, all your Instagram. And also, dude, I'm going to let you know, I'll hit you up on Twitter. I want to join MAG because Emily is an abusive girl to me, too. So you know, she always starts Twitter beef with me, so I'm on your team, man.
Just so you guys know, MAG, it's physically, emotionally, and mentally, all right, you're abused. Because, hey, you know what? We laugh about it. You know, we laugh about it and we make jokes about it, but, you know, it's a real thing. You know, there's people that, you know, get hit. Girls hit the guys, you know, and they really don't do anything, you know, or emotionally, you know, like I'm sure you guys have friends where, you know, you have a real pretty friend, a girl, and they're dating a guy that you're like, how the heck did he get with her, you know? And she abuses him by saying, like, oh, you'll never get nobody prettier than me. That's emotionally right there, you know. Mentally, you know, girls that just mind fuck you all the time, you know. There's a lot of those. It goes both ways, but it's true, you know. So, you know, it's just fun. If you get on it, it's on Facebook, actually. So if you get on it, go on my page. Look me under on Javier Pelos Garcia, and I'm actually the link should be on my page, and just click in on it and then ask to join, and I'll accept you. My Twitter is Pelitos_Garcia, and my Instagram as well, Pelitos_Garcia. So if you guys want to, you know, get my jokes and get to know me, you know, add me on any of those or on all of them. It don't matter.
Thanks for being on the show, man.
No, thanks for having me, guys, man. This was fun. It wasn't so much of a pressure that I thought it was going to be. So,
Anytime you ever want to call one.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Actually, I think I've listened to it a few times, but I don't know if it's the same one, because I see a lot of these. Like, you click on the phone, and then they automatically goes to, you know, people talking about boxing. I don't know if it's you guys, man. But I click on them. It's fun. I like it. So thanks for having me, though.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. I know that I got your text, and I was thinking, oh, he has no idea. This is going to be a lot of fun. This is no pressure at all.
Yeah, you know, it is the reason you say something stupid in there, and you're screwed, you know? So, this was fun. I liked it, and again, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Javier.
All right. So I just clicked off.
Have a great night.
You too. You guys have a good night, and have a good one. I'll see you soon. If anything, and the undercard. Okay.
Yeah, I'll see you at some point, you know, on some undercard somewhere, so.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, well, for sure.
Hopefully we'll have a little more space next time. That was some crazy business there, like six teams in one tiny room, so.
And it was hot.
It was really hot.
Yeah.
I think it got kicked out.
All right, then. You guys have a good night.
All right, you too, Javier. Thank you so much.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, all you boxing addicts, that was a great, fun interview right there. That was Javier Garcia. I've been laughing so much right now. Man, we'll talk a little bit more about him, but we also got someone on the line next that we got to bring on. It's his spot of the show. Always love having this guy on. He's a machine. All right, Ryan Bivens, welcome to the show. What's going on, Ryan?
I'm doing pretty good.
So, man, you're probably one. This had to be a pretty busy week for you compared to the last few weeks. How was your week going with all the boxing you watched, man?
Well, to be honest, wasn't any busier than the week before. I mean, just because more mainstream fights are on doesn't mean, you know, more fights are on. Like, I watch everything, so I think last week actually was busier. I had more fights to watch. But, yeah, this week fights was on HBO, so obviously, you know, that's what people watch. Oh, and, right, Stern fought overseas. You know, he's a big star. So, yeah, that's where the buzz comes from. But, I mean, you have packed weekends, you know, back-to-back with fights, good fights, you know, man. Matter of fact, this weekend wasn't even one of the better ones. But, go ahead.
Right. No, you know, and I brought this up earlier. We're going to probably talk about it at the end of the show, but I kind of thought of you when I saw this, cuz we always talk about these fun six rounders, and man, I'm already forgetting the name. I had it on the tip of my tongue. It was on the solo box sale card.
Yeah, right. You're talking about the Edgar Lopez and Gadio and the Luz fight.
Yes. Now, what'd you think about that fight? I thought that was a fun fight to watch. I mean, especially at the end where the Lopez's opponent was, like, calling him out, saying, like, come on, hit me, you know?
Yeah, no, that might have been the best fight I saw all week. But, you know, it was short, you know. I guess the other fights in contention for best fight of the week were 12-rounders. But for 6-rounders, yeah, this is probably the best thing I saw.
Right, right. Now, what do you think about Gil's performance and Golovkin's performance?
Jill put on a good fight. Sturm could have done better, I thought. And to be honest, I had to fight a draw. There were a tremendous amount of close rounds, and as I was watching the fight on Twitter, you know, people like to give their round by rounds. At least maybe 10 rounds, people disagreed on who won the round. So, I mean, it's just one of those fights where it really doesn't mean anything when, you know, they decide who the winner is, because it was just a situation where it wasn't conclusive at all.
Now,
what I thought Gio did well in the fight was his pressure. You know, but Stern doesn't do well when you pressure him and keep punching, because he doesn't have a high output. And he has, you know, he stays stationary and he has that, you know, high guard. And because he's not moving, you know, you can figure out how to punch around the guard. I mean, he's not Winky Wright. And even Winky, you know, as Winky got older, the defense didn't work too well against Paul Williams, as you saw.
Right, definitely. Now, where do you see, how about Golovkin and his performance? Where do you think he's going on next? How about him? Do you like him and Gill or what?
Golovkin, I like. You know, I've followed him, you know.
Not even sure he's any better now than he was when he was there. He's pushing with more power. He's a lot of top guys, man. Top football, three plays, and out of all those guys, I think the only one he knocked out was Zika. The rest were, you know, all points.
Yo, hey, Ryan, I don't know. Hey, Ryan, not to cut you off, but I can't even hear you right now. It sounds like it's a muffle on your over there on that end.
Oh, I'm
there you go.
In the wrong spot. Okay.
There you go.
Well, what I said was, as an amateur, you know, he was more of a technical fighter than he is now. Like now, he's you know, just going out there and trying to wreck guys, and his defense is a little shaky. I think he can be exploited. He hasn't always looked great as a professional. Up to, I mean, against Proxa, you know, that was probably the most impressive win of his professional career. I'd say it's definitely the most impressive win of his professional career, but. Prior to this, I wasn't particularly impressed by his performance against a faded Kasim Uma, nor was I particularly impressed with the guy he fought before that, which even though, he knocked both these guys out, but like he just had, you know, a round or multiple rounds against Uma, but one round against this journeyman called Nelson Julio Tapia where, you know, it just looked like, you know, this is not, you know, among the best middleweights in the world. But, you know, if you fight his fight, you know, if you are where he wants you to be, you know, right in front of him, you know, willing to exchange, then he's probably going to take you out. Because among just the pure, you know, brute force, power-punching guys in the division, I'd say he's the best. Like, I'd say, like, Julio Cesar Chavez is just a bigger, softer-hitting, you know, journeyman version of him.
Right. Now, before we go on and let you go, man, why don't you tell everyone, first of all, what fight that you think that everyone can go on your side and need to make sure they need to check out?
A fight that definitely didn't get enough. This weekend, probably because it happened before anybody woke up, was the parents. He retained his title against the Bull and the Shira.
Hey, Ryan, it's all muffled. It's all muffled again, bro.
Oh.
There we go.
Tepereth Koki Jim, he retained his title against Nobuo Nishiro. It was a 12-round majority decision. that was in Japan, you know, early in the morning before I guess most people woke up. That was a pretty good fight. I think Nishiro thought he won, and he was a little... his mannerisms throughout the fight, you know, I found interesting. You know, like, he would go out, you know, and lose a round pretty clearly to me and, you know, walk away with his hands in the air, like, celebrating like he won. And then on other rounds, like, where I actually thought he won, he'd walk back with, like, his head down, like he knew he lost.
So it looks like he was doing more of a, like, a reverse psychology for the judges.
Yeah, but whatever it was, it didn't work out. I mean, I thought he clearly lost the fight. He lost too many rounds in the middle, but maybe other people would see it differently. I don't know. All the judges had it close, but then again, it was in his backyard.
Definitely, definitely. Well, man, give out all your shout-outs and tell them about your website where they can find all the links at, man, because I know Emily, I don't know if Emily should still be on the line, but I know she loves your – you save her day. She loves your link that you always send out, man. So you're doing a great job, like always.
I'm a huge fan.
You can find me on Twitter at SweetBoxing, and you can find my website at sweetboxingvideos.wordpress.com. I put out all the stuff that happens, you know, every week. I started this, I guess, a couple months ago. You wouldn't be able to find, you know, a whole bunch of stuff before May. But from June, you know, on, pretty consistent, and there's not much that we miss unless, you know, some stuff that isn't televised even gets on the site.
Definitely. Well, hey, Ryan. Thanks for coming on, like always, right, man? You always do a hell of a job, man.
Yeah, no problem. Have a good one.
Thanks, Ryan.
All right, that was Ryan Bivens at Sweet Boxing on Twitter. And if you guys ever need links, or, you know, you can't find a certain fight or there's a fight overseas that's not televised in America, and you need hit up that guy on Twitter. He'll make sure you get a link for that fight. He saved my day. He saved Emily's. He saved everybody's, man. He does a great job, and he knows what he's talking about. He's a big boxing addict himself. I mean, this guy's a machine. But on that note, speaking of since we also just interviewed right before him Javier Garcia, let's talk about Mikey Garcia's fight. What you think, Emily?
Yeah, he obviously performed very well, and you know, I'm looking forward to watching him step up in competition to Salido. I heard about that fight before I knew this one was happening, so this must have just been like a tune-up. I didn't actually know this one was happening until this weekend, but I had heard about the Salido fight a few weeks ago when I saw Salido's bar here in Phoenix. And, I mean, you know, he obviously looked great, good knockout, and I'm looking forward to, you know, seeing him make that step up and see what happens. Salido's a very, very strong fighter. He beat one of my favorite fighters twice, Juan Manuel Lopez. I do think that Mikey Garcia has better ring smarts than Lopez, and will is more technically sound. And I think that he'll give Salido a good fight.
Yeah, you know, I knew about the Garcia fight. I knew it was a tune-up fight because Orlando just had a tune-up fight not that long ago as well. It was a stay busy fight. I can't wait for these two to fight. I more so, and you know, it's more so because I'm a Salido fan. I think he's so fun to watch. This guy he's your typical Sinaloa or Mexican fighter that just comes forward and bangs with you. He can take punches. I mean, his fight with Lopez, both of them, especially the second one, was just incredible. And I'm always happy to see guys like this get their big shots and continue doing what they do best and entertaining the crowd, you know, the fans and media everywhere. I'm excited for the fight. Honestly, I'll give you my prediction now. I think Orlando Salido is going to beat Mikey Garcia. Although I think Mikey Garcia is a hell of a fighter, I don't think he's ready for this type of fight personally. But I don't think it's a big loss for Mikey. If Mikey was to lose this fight, it's not going to hurt him at all. I think it's actually he's going to get a lot of fans because I could see Mikey giving a tough fight for Orlando. But I'm excited for this fight. But Mikey looked good. I mean, it was a tune-up fight last night. You know, he did what he had to do. He went in there and he finished the guy out in two rounds. If you watched the fight, you go back or if you didn't watch it, go back and watch it. Mikey lands this right hand that knocked his opponent, not only knocked him out, it knocked the guy's hair out of his ponytail braid thing. I mean, I don't know if you noticed that, Emily, but if you watch it, he's on the ground stumbling, getting up, and his hair that was in the ponytail became unponytailed, or I don't know how you say it. That's not my style, you know, but it was all in front of his face. He looked like a new man. He looked like he got a new hairdo after Mikey was done with him.
Yeah, that was, I mean, obviously, you know, like I said, he looked strong, he looks good, and, you know, he's going to, so I'm looking forward to that step up in competition.
So I'm asking you now, your prediction.
Honestly, you know, I watched Alito in sparring the other day a few weeks ago. I wasn't, you know, that impressed, but it was also, I think, his first week of training. You know, obviously, he beat Lopez, and makes me a little sad. But I think he's a little more powerful than Mikey Garcia. I honestly think he's probably going to win.
Now, I'm sorry, were you sad both times when he destroyed your boy, Juanma?
I was. To be honest with you, the first time that was the same night as Berto Ortiz won. And, I was pretty crushed, actually. And then the second time, I wasn't really expecting Lopez to win, and then he didn't. So, yeah. I mean, clearly the ref had a gambling problem. No, I'm just playing. I'm just kidding. But, but yeah, Salido's a strong fighter. I'm not going to lie. And he's a warrior. I'm really looking forward. That's one of the fights coming up that I'm looking forward to seeing.
Now, we're going to get into these hard-hitting headlines. Now, look, everyone knows here at first of all, the Boxing Fix, just can go ahead and give us a call if you still want to talk boxing. It's 347-215-7598. And the other shows, don't forget to listen to other shows. Like all your Spanish speakers out there, you don't have to hit the ESP button. You can just listen to Noche de Boxeo on Mondays, 5 Pacific, 8 Eastern. Thursdays, we got Leave It in the Ring Radio with your host, Dave Duenes, and the Dark Cloud, Gabriel Montoya. Go ahead and check that out. That's also 5 Pacific, 3 hours of boxing talk. Always a great show, always great interviews on there. And like I said, all you boxing addicts go out there, get your Undisputed Fight magazine at UndisputedFightMag.com. UFM is a great magazine. If you don't get it, then like I said, you're not a real boxing addict. It's real good stuff on there. Great articles from a bunch of great writers. But on that note, let's get into these hard-hitting headlines. And even though at the Boxing Fix we usually concentrate on the smaller cards and all that, I kind of wanted to talk about this fight that just got announced. I think it's a great fight. I'm kind of happy for one of the fighters in it because he deserves a decent shot. This week was announced on December 1st, Miguel Cotto, who we all knew he was going to fight somewhere around that time or on December 1st in Madison Square Garden, decided that he will be taking on and giving a shot to, or actually he would be the challenger, I think, against Austin No Doubt Trout. I like this fight. I think that's a big thing for Austin Trout, especially because he doesn't really get these kind of opportunities, and a lot of people didn't think he was going to get an opportunity after the snooze fest he put on against Delvin. But what do you think about it? How, are you excited for that fight?
I am. I'm really happy for Trout. He's out of New Mexico, so I, you know, on the various Southwest boxing shows and stuff, you know, I hear about him a lot, and I like Cotto a lot, you know, as a person, as a fighter. I think that's actually a really good fight for boxing. It's a good fight for both fighters. I didn't really want to see Cotto versus Pacquiao. I'm not disappointed that's not happening. I'm wanting to see fighters like Cotto bring in fighters like Trout. You know, somebody that, like you said, deserves a chance at a bigger name fight. And I think it's going to be a great fight. I'm looking forward to it. And I, you know, probably be going for Trout, you know, since he's sort of local.
Yeah, I mean, I like, you know, Trout's a good guy. I've spoken to him a few times, and I know his second cousin, it's a family friend. He was in the Matadors team, you know, Siju Sabaz. you know, they're all like a big, they're a big group and team over there on New Mexico. But I mean, I can't tell you who's going to win this. I'm not going to make a prediction yet. I know it's going to be a hell of a fight. It should be a really good fight. Cotto always brings it. That's the thing. You know, Trout is not necessarily the most fan-friendly type of fighter to watch, but Cotto is. And that's one thing that I always trust in Cotto. Cotto's going to entertain you somehow. You know, he's going to come in and do his best, and Cotto's still trying to climb that 54 mark, and he's probably looking for another rematch with Mayweather and or even, you know, Pacquiao, which I believe he can beat Pacquiao at if it was at 54, but I don't think Pacquiao would go up there. But at least not for Cotto. But, you know, congratulations to Austin Trout. I think that's a big deal for him, you know, to get that chance. But and one other little headline we have here. Is the Bailey and Alexander fight postponed. Kind of a bummer on that, you know. Bailey hurt his back. I was looking forward to this fight. I don't know if you were, Emily. Any takes on this?
I was. I'm an Alexander fan. I was looking forward to this fight. I am disappointed it's postponed. I am happy they're still having the card. I'm not unhappy with Matisse stepping in for the main event. I think it's still going to be a good card. And but yeah, I'm disappointed. I'm not happy, obviously, that it's called off, but or postponed.
Yeah, I really wanted to see that fight. I really thought I was curious to see if Bailey could pull it off, you know, and throw a wrench into the game, you know. But I mean, I think the main event should be pretty solid and still. And then we got, you know, everyone else is on the card. We'll see how it turns out. But that's a little bit of news from this week. Other than that, we're going to just head right into the rants and raves. I'm going to let you kick it off with your rant because you've been so adamant and emotional and just ready on this one. Tell me some of your rants, your first one.
I'm not sure if anybody caught this, if you got the vibe that I'm not really happy about this Wade thing. I know we talked about it specific to this fight, but in general, I'm disappointed in the boxing industry's unwillingness to compromise, you know, money or whatever it is to suspend these fighters and force fighters to take the weight seriously. It's not acceptable. It's not setting a good example for other fighters. If I've got a fighter that's, you know, that's working hard to make weight and he's on that card and he sees this guy come in 9 pounds overweight, why wouldn't he come in a pound overweight the next fight? You know, why not? This guy's still getting on Boxing After Dark. And it's not just, you know, now it happened with Broner and I'm trying to think of the other guy's name right now. It's not coming to mind. But and he was forced, you know, to make the decision whether he wanted to take the fight, how much money is it worth, you know, to his family to take this fight and put himself at risk, you know? I mean, they're in this business to make money. And they get into a position where they have to do it, and I'm over it. So I already talked about it earlier. I won't get all riled up again. But I think the boxing industry as a whole needs to get on it with this weight thing because it's out of control. If you can come in 9 pounds overweight and still fight, that is some bullshit. Sorry, excuse my language, but that is not acceptable, not good for the sport, not good for his opponent, not good for anybody.
Now, well, since, you know, you want boxing to do something, let me ask you then, what do you think is the best thing to do? And remember, you got to think about the opponent who's going to, you know, like I had said earlier, if the fight was canceled, kind of sucks for, you know, Sergey, if the fight was stopped, you know, his shot at being seen on HBO. So what would be your thing? What would you want to see done?
I'm hearing you say that. When you said that earlier, I was like, man, damn, he's right. What do we do about that? Here's my problem with that. Ultimately, if you allow it to go forward, you're putting that fighter in physical harm. You're putting his health at risk and thus his livelihood, his future ability to make money at risk. So in essence, if you cancel that fight, you're doing the best thing for the fighter. Not the best thing for the fighter's pocket, not the best thing for the fighter's popularity, but what's really truly best for the other fighter and what's best for the sport. If you're the network, you know, I think you do two things. You say, you, Fatso, not coming on our network ever again. And you, dude who made weight, we're going to invite you back next opportunity we have. I think that's the way to handle it from the network standpoint. And a suspension is absolutely the right thing to do because you're making a mockery of the sport. You're not taking it seriously, which reminds me of Chavez saying on, what's it called, on 24/7 the other night, like, respect the sport, and I'm like, laughed a little inside. But I'm just saying that that these guys, they're cheating. Essentially, they're gaining an unfair advantage of the fight, being allowed to go forward, still being compensated for the fight. It's unacceptable. It cannot happen. It's not good for the sport. It's not good for the other fighter. And I think, you know, like I said, the best thing you could do is pay the fighter that is missing the opportunity and make sure that he gets that same shot again.
Definitely. And you know, my rant is the same thing, too. And I'm not going to harp on it too much because, like you said, we talked about it. But like I said, the solution, I think, is start suspending these guys. And not you don't necessarily have to suspend them, like, as in they can't fight or whatever. Suspend them to where they don't get any TV time. No HBO, Boxing After Dark, no Showtime, Showbox, or Show Extreme fights. Not even Show Extreme, you know. Nothing. Friday Night Fights, nothing for like a year or 2 years.
Why
on,
they be able to
you know,
at all? You know, like they are cheating. You know, you ban people for substances. I mean, at what point then are you like inviting them to go try to, you know, bring their weight down with some banned substance? I mean, what if they've done that and made weight? You know, like, I don't know. I think that they should be suspended for some period of time because they're cheating.
Yeah, I mean, even that, even the suspension would be fine. I wouldn't be opposing that, you know, against it at all. One thing, though, is I think it needs to be a cutoff to where we start punishing them. Like, you know, a couple pounds, I'm not going to bitch and complain about it. If it's 2 or 3 pounds, to me, at least they tried, I think. At least they made the effort, you know.
But I agree with
nine
that. Yeah, even 3 or 4 pounds. I think, you know, maybe 1 pound, 2 pounds at the most, you know, and I don't know if maybe then are people like, oh, I can come in 1 or 2 pounds overweight and still do it. That's the only reason that, like, a zero tolerance type situation might apply, but what if you come in 0.5 pound over? You know, they give them the chance to go back and, you know, take a couple hours to get it off. I think if ultimately you don't, you know, can't make weight, either you can't go back to your hotel room and sweat it off, spit it off, whatever, you know, maybe you give them till the next morning, but if they don't make whatever weight is set, I've never heard of that. I mean, I have only been a boxing fan for maybe the last 8 or 9 years, and I hadn't really heard much about something like what happened with Broner happening, where if he didn't make a certain weight by the next day, they weren't going to fight, and of course they did anyway. There has to be, in a way, it has to be kind of zero tolerance, but you just got to figure out in a way that, you know, it doesn't overly punish people that, you know, really truly try to make weight, try to be professional about it.
Yeah, definitely. And like I said, like I'm lenient to up to 3 pounds. I think around the 5 pound mark is where I'm really not lenient. But you know, and the 4 pound is where I'm starting not to be too happy about. But 3 pounds, I might let you slide. But definitely. Now, enough of that. How about you had an interesting rave. I was gonna tell you I don't want this on the show, but I'm gonna go ahead and let
no,
you rave
I wasn't.
About it.
I was joking. That was just to you.
Oh,
my rave is,
oops.
Yeah, that wasn't a real rave. I was just.
Well, you would have made the female audience very happy. But anyways,
my
rave.
My rave is like a few words. Sergio Martinez without his shirt on. That's my rave.
There we go.
Sergio
See?
Martinez.
There you go.
Thanks for listening, ladies.
Yeah. But, you know, my rave, you know, shout out to Golovkin and Proxa. That was a fun fight to watch, and it was entertaining, and it was well worth me being, you know, taking time out of my college football, you know, even though I am a boxing addict, but, you know, college football, the first week's always big, we all know that, but, you know, a big shout out to both of those fighters, and Proxa with the heart that he had, he showed a lot of heart and will, and it's always good to see that, and, I'm ready to see more Golovkin and find out how much of a real deal this guy is. That's
yeah,
the main thing, and let's go ahead and see more of him.
Yeah, I'm excited, you know, about that. One thing it did is it got the boxing fans kind of excited about something that wasn't the normal, like, 10 fighters that we hear about all day, every day, so.
Yeah, and I like that. You know what? I like seeing, although it's a little annoying, I do like seeing a lot of the the hype men, I guess you can call it on Twitter, you know, that are just huge fans of the guy. I mean, that's cool. That shows how that's what makes me love the sport of boxing so much, is the fans and everything that go crazy just for one guy that nobody knows about, you know, for the most part. I mean, some of it does get annoying and it gets too much, and like they kind of like talk about it and defend that, they defend him till the death. But on the other point where I like is when they just are saying, hey, he's a good fighter, I can't wait to see more, everyone should watch it, you know. But, you know, I guess that was a little bit of a rant in there too, but I'm trying to, I think you know where I was getting at, but I'm going to stay away. But anyway.
It's nice because at least it brought him, I know he brought him to my attention and you know, made me kind of pay attention more to that fight than I might have otherwise done. So I'm happy, you know, like I'm not, and you know, somebody has to be, you know, with Benavidez, there's a guy that he has been the number one fan of Jose Benavidez since day one. Like every single day on Twitter, tweeting about him, and one of these days he's been telling his friends all about Junior, and they've probably been like, whatever. And hopefully, if Junior wins the title, he'll say, "See, I told you." Maybe that's what that guy's going for.
Definitely. Now, it's about that time where we make all the boxing addicts start jonesing, I guess, because we won't be on until next week. But any last final thoughts for you, Emily?
Oh, I'm on Twitter and Facebook. They're both the same, Emily Boxing. And thank you for having me. You know, also, you know, I'm part of Team Benavidez. We have an Instagram that we're all contributing to. So that's Team Benavidez Boxing on Instagram. That has all of our stuff on it. And thanks for having me these last couple of weeks. I don't know, I wasn't planning on coming on this week. I'm happy that I did, and I've enjoyed this very much. This is a fun day, and I love the two interviews we did. Thanks to those guys for coming on too, Javier and Jay Leon.
Definitely, and you know, let me go on and say this, Emily. Thank you for stepping in the last 2 weeks, especially even this week on both weeks actually on short notice. But for you, for your job that you're getting, you know, some of the fighters you're getting for us here at the Boxing Fix. Joel might be back next week. From what I know, he told me he was. But that doesn't mean that you can't, you know, hang out with us and chime in. Hey, we would love you. We always love you around. You know that. And it's been great.
I think the plan is live tweet.
What happened?
I think I'll be doing some social media stuff for the show. So hopefully, it's kind of hard to do when I'm actually on the show. But, you know, hopefully if Joel's back and he's awesome, you know, I can step back and get into that. I'm here if you guys need me, but I've really enjoyed it, and I'm looking forward to continuing to work with you guys.
Definitely, and we look forward to it too. And I'm excited that Joel. The part I'm excited about Joel coming back is I don't really have to butcher these names when we do the boxing blitz. I really, really can't stress how much I hate trying to pronounce people's names, because I know I wouldn't like someone to butcher my name, which I don't see how they could. But even if they were to, you know, I understand where I wouldn't like it. So for all the boxers out there that I've butchered your name, please forgive me. I try. And I think I should get some credit. But anyways, for anyone,
you know, when you see Josh on Twitter and Facebook saying I'm prepping for the show, he's just practicing all the names. That's what he's saying.
Pretty much. It's either that, or I'm watching a bunch of fights that I didn't get to see, or I'm trying to sober up from my previous hangover. But I was sober last night, believe it or not. But anyways, you know, you guys can follow me on Twitter at BigTree33. Emily said hers. Big shout out to David Chan, who's always doing an awesome job producing the show. And all the callers, all the guests, thanks for coming on. And make sure you tune in next week on the Boxing Fix. For all you addicts, come and get your fix, all right? Have a great weekend. And have a great holiday weekend. I think it's a lot of people got tomorrow off. So have a great weekend and enjoy yourself. Find some boxing, YouTube it, whatever. Keep the sport alive.